much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Bloody Mary.
No hard liquor served past 8 o'clock. Do you want a virgin?
Maybe, but I'll have a couple of drinks first.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Barack Obama, I don't know. I already got one wife telling me to eat healthy. Plus, he promised me death panels and Grandpa's still alive.
Barack Obama's roofie did not murder me.
You're like in your little tiny little shoes, like, you know.
I'm in my little tie and my little shoes. What the hell does that mean?
Do the math. It's on video.
And now,
Mitt Romney? I hear he wears magic underpants. I expect the leader of the free world to go commando. Unless his horse totally choked at the Olympics.
Our feature presentation.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Homer is voting for Mitt Romney, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
That's the spoiler in the previews that we've seen for the premiere of The Simpsons, which is coming up maybe this weekend. So he's decided to vote for Mitt. But it gets very, very crazy after that.
Now, do I have to add him to my list of celebrities and who they're voting for? Because he's really a cartoon.
No, of course you do. Homer's as real as most of the people in this world.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, if you're using celebrities to help you decide who to vote for, then you got to put Homer in the mid column.
All right.
So Homer and Kim Kardashian are in the mid column.
Wayne though is in the Barack Obama column. You got to remember that.
Sure.
So if you're keeping, we should put some sort of a score sheet up online. I think that'd be a good idea where the celebrities have all come in. Clint Eastwood, I can't tell. I think he'll be in a home by then. I don't know, they're going to let him vote. Let the old man vote. Hey, party people, welcome on in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Tuesday. Got a lot to do, a lot to talk about today. The end of the NFL, the end of the league that we've enjoyed since we were little boys.
The league's not going to end.
The league should end is what they should do. Here's my theory, is that every player should get on the phone and go, let's just not show up on Sunday. Boom.
But how does that help them?
Boom. Because there's no way that happens. There's no way the league lets that happen. Believe me, they put refs on the field before they lose an entire weekend of football.
Because the problem is, this has not affected the NFL financially any way.
Explain to people who may not have watched last night's game.
Oh, my God. What a disaster.
What good fun that was.
And I couldn't be more heartbroken that it happened in Seattle, because all of a sudden we're the dicks of the nation, as if we had anything to do with it.
You're the dicks of the nation for a lot of reasons.
As if we don't play, you know, have to play by the same rules as everybody else, which these replacement refs who, as I understand it, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith within the hour, and he'll have more on this. But I understand these replacement refs, not that there's at least they could have come from college football, right? But for some reason they can't. They have to come from the lowest possible rungs. I mean, these are your kids' refs. Yes.
Like Little League and stuff?
Like, I think it's like Division III schools or something. I don't know what the specifics are, but believe me, there's no refs up there that you've seen on college football. That's for sure. I mean, these, you know, they pulled refs from poker tournaments. I mean, it's just some of them are crossing guards. I mean, I don't know what – literally, I think some of them did work at Foot Locker, and they hired them because they had the outfit. But the shortest possible version – and you can see as much as you care to read on this online anywhere. The shortest possible version is Hail Mary, last-second pass. Russell Wilson, quarterback for Seattle, throws a great pass with no time on the clock, and it is intercepted by the Green Bay Packers. And two refs run over to it. One calls an interception, the other thinking that a Seattle player had also caught the ball at the same time, in which case the rule is that
goes to the offense,
right, if it's a simultaneous catch. It clearly on replay wasn't a simultaneous catch. One guy calls touchdown, one guy calls interception. They pause, they review, and they say touchdown, end of game. And they're not allowed to use video replay for determining who caught a ball. Apparently that's one of the bizarre rules. This has nothing to do with replacement refs. That's the regular NFL ref too. They just decide amongst the guys who made the call on the field.
There are a lot of times when two guys catch the ball at the same time and they fall to the ground immediately and start fighting for it.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
Regular refs have no idea who has it or what ends up with it.
Yeah, exactly. But they, we trust their judgment and they make a decision and we're fine with it. But this one was so clearly so clearly wrong. It was so clearly caught by the Packers, Jennings first, and then our guy, Golden Tate, you know, basically wrestles it away from him. It'd be like, you know, you're holding a baby and I walk up and hug it. Now you have to give me your baby, you know?
That's a rule in the NFL?
Yes, the NFL can make that a rule,
that's
right?
That's crazy.
So here's what we've been saying, and Lisa, you've heard this, and you don't even care about the goddamn sport, but every week that we come in, we talk to Andrew Siciliano on Monday, and we go, all right, the refs blew most of their calls again this weekend, but at least it hasn't affected the outcome of a game as nearly as we can tell. Who
right.
knows whether it really has or not, because, you know, sometimes a play that doesn't seem sure. like a big deal in the second quarter could be the one that ended up putting you behind or whatever. But this is the one now, this is the tipping point where everybody can see that a game has been blown. And it's just not, you know, it's just not fair. It's not why people get out there and play the game. It's certainly not fair to the Packers, not fair to the Seahawks to have, you know, basically an asterisk on their record. If they lost the game, they lost the game. But it couldn't suck anymore. And it doesn't seem like the commissioner is at all willing. I mean, we heard yesterday they were still talking, but it sounds like they're still immovable on whatever the league wants.
I heard a theory yesterday that this really has very little to do with the refs. It's the NFL wanting to prove that they are united and they are tough to deal with so that when players come up,
oh, really?
They already have the impression like, oh, geez, these guys will not move.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe that's true. But I mean, as so many analysts and even players have been saying since it happened last night around 9 o'clock our time, look, the NFL is always saying there's nothing more important than the league. You know, respect the shield. They say,
right.
You know, the game is we got to put the best product on the field, and it's important that you sign off on that. But clearly, they're not trying to put the best product on the field. So it's a disaster. It's just a mess.
The replacement refs made a statement after the game.
We are deeply sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry.
I don't know if that helped.
I wish they would say that, by the way, but I doubt they will.
With a guitar.
Yeah, they have to have a guitar underneath it.
So bad times in the sports world, kids.
Yeah.
Really is. I mean, what's the point of playing the games if it doesn't matter, you know, who wins or loses fairly, really?
And who, I mean, seriously, if you're going to give a team a win, you don't give it to Seattle.
How dare you?
Right? I mean, they're last on the list. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Your head is enormous.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, that's true.
We can go on, though.
I can't wait to play for you my favorite new video, which I believe Omar spent most of yesterday beeping.
That would be very difficult to do.
It's a guy doing a karaoke that has Tourette's. And it's good.
If this guy were doing karaoke at a place near your house, you'd go every
night.
In
a second, yeah. We also are going to talk to Huffington Post Weird News editor about the fact that it's National One-Hit Wonder Day today.
Oh, how about that?
Because we work, of course, in the music industry, and we have a lot of bands that only have one hit, so we're going to talk to him about that. We have tickets for you to go to our breakfast with the Black Keys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win those. I don't know if you saw the story yesterday on TMZ about Kanye West and how there are two sex tapes that somehow people got their hands on and they're going to try and sell, and he's not going to let happen. But we're going to take your calls if somebody found your sex tape.
Ooh.
Because if you're not famous, I'm sure this happens all the time, but
yeah,
we don't hear about it. Especially like if it was somebody that you really don't want to find your sex tape, like your new boyfriend, girlfriend,
yeah,
husband, wife, anytime parents, that's all bad. There's nothing good about that. And we have the Killers coming in studio.
Damn.
That's
awesome.
How about that? So that is coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. We should do something with that band. That's a band we should do something with right there.
I think, October 5th, I think the Black Keys are going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, and we have tickets you can win coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. So great idea, Kevin.
Whoa.
No, actually, they've apologized. They're going into
rehab.
That's
not the case.
They had no time to
come
by. And, they
Black Keys are fine.
They're sorry, and they're not effing Justin Bieber. They want everyone to know.
That's the voice of Ralph Garman, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. It's 5:51.
Hello, cheater. Hello, king of the cheaters. How's
Again?
Everybody up there in cheaterland? Everything
didn't
okay for you guys
with
all
it?
Your cheater people? Everybody happy?
Seattle's fault.
Oh, okay.
Bad calls in every city that has a team this past 3
right.
weeks.
But this is... What other teams got handed the win? I'm just wondering, other than Cheaterville. The Cheaterville Seahawks.
That's right.
I wish it had not happened.
The Cheathawks.
Wrong town, USA.
Yeah. Nice work, king of cheaters. Nice work. Hope you're happy with your cheating.
and your cheatingness. I will tell you.
Cheatosity.
I will tell you that it was embarrassing to see how happy the fans were at the excitement of jumping up and down and running around, even when it became clear that it was a mistaken call by the officials. I would have walked out of that stadium with my head held low, is what I would have done. If I had been at that game, yeah, we won, but it's nothing to be proud of. You know what I mean?
There's a certain amount of, hey, we've been screwed on calls in the past too, though. You know
I'm
what
sure
I mean?
People, there are some people who thought that, yeah. Sure. But that you know, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, I hate to use the cliche, but the truth is just because other games have been had blown calls doesn't mean you want another one.
Hang on, let me write that down. Two wrongs? What was it? Two wrongs?
It's math, Kevin. Simple math. Oh. Two wrongs. Wrong plus wrong.
Wrong
equals
Seattle.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Here's the thing. Everyone's saying, well, the fans are going to do it. We're going to boycott the NFL, and that'll teach you, and the money will drop off, and then the NFL will have to do something. Listen, douchebags, stop it. Stop it with those tweets. Stop it with the petitions. Because here's the thing. It's like National Gas Out Day.
Yeah, don't get gas on Wednesdays, by the way, if you want to protest the NFL.
It's just not going to happen. People don't give that much of a rat's ass. They're going to deprive themselves of the games on Sunday. So people will watch, and they'll go to the stadiums, and they'll buy the jerseys, and we're just sheep. And you have to get everyone to do it, or else it's not going to work, and everyone's not going to do it. I'll tell you that right now. So just
what
stop
about
it. Stop
my
it.
Suggesting that the players do it, though?
The players can't.
Why?
Because it's part of their CBA. It's part of their collective bargaining agreement.
Right. You can't fire the whole league, though. If enough players do it, you can't have games.
But these guys aren't going to take money out of their pockets for this. They're not going to not get paid.
I'm telling you that they should, is what I'm telling
but
you.
But they, first of all, they can't. It's
so
in their contract,
the fans.
They can't. And they why should the players be penalized financially for a mistake that's between the refs and the owners?
First of all, I don't think that would happen. I think that the thing would be solved today if all of the players came out and said, we're not coming out onto the field on starting Thursday night. I do. I think that would work.
But they just legally, they just can't do that.
Yeah, but again, you can't. It's like you can't arrest 300 people that walk into a 7-Eleven either. If there's enough numbers involved, then it goes beyond the scope of just a player getting penalized. If everybody agrees to it, then there's nothing you can do to those people.
It was two wrongs don't make what?
You can fine everyone easily. You can fine everyone who didn't participate in the game on that Sunday.
Well, I think the NFL...
Just like they can fine Belichick or fine any coach that argues with a ref or do anything, they can fine.
It's easy to do when it's tiny numbers like that. What would that look like for the NFL if the players stood up for the integrity of the game and then the NFL, on top of that, fined them all?
What does it look like now for the NFL? They don't care about appearances. They're making their money.
They got to be having meetings today, at least. They got to be starting to take it seriously now, don't they?
Look.
What you would think.
They should have been taking it seriously at the beginning of the season. They should have been taking it seriously in the preseason.
Totally agree.
100%. But they're making their money.
Yeah. They are. Well, that's why I'm trying to come up with some way that they can't.
Well, I'm not going to put it on the players, certainly, who have done nothing to add to the situation whatsoever. It's not their responsibility.
That's true. They play the game. And that's
they play the game. They're doing their job. Right. But the thing is, the owners... And it's not even Goodell. I don't blame Goodell. The owners are saying we're not going to sign this deal. And the refs are asking, by the way, for pensions for part-time employees in the refs association.
Oh, really?
Which is unheard of. So nobody gives a full pension to someone who works part-time. It just doesn't happen in business.
You have to do better.
So there's problems on both sides, and neither is willing to budge. And of course, everyone else gets caught in the middle and gets punished.
One thing we can all agree on. Is the Seahawks are evil.
That's right.
Okay.
And two wrongs make Seattle.
That's
right. All right. Before I get to showbiz news, if I have any time left for any, let me give away some tickets. I got a lot of tickets to give away today to a lot of cool things. Let me tell you what I'm going to be giving away. I'm going to be giving away tickets to the new horror movie Sinister just in time for Halloween.
Love it.
Doing a special screening of that. I'll be giving away No Doubt tickets. How about that? How do you like No Doubt? Tickets in the fourth row. This
sweet
today sometime from me during showbiz.
Yeah, glad I didn't win him. David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get
Dave.
Tickets if I get down there.
Dave, you don't get tickets. Don't come down here.
Those people who tried to win yesterday in the fifth row were suckers, Ralph.
That's right. Today's the fourth row. You know what's going to happen tomorrow.
I can't even imagine.
Just do the math there with your little tie and your little shoes. Just try to figure it out. That's what I'm saying. And right now I've got tickets to the Tim Burton film Frankenweenie.
Yay!
A
lot of hardcore fan Tim Burton fans, a lot of hardcore Tim Burton fans are very excited about this film because it's based on one of his early short films that he's finally expanded into a feature-length stop-motion animation film. The screening is Thursday, October the 4th at the AMC Burbank. It's in theaters everywhere, by the way, on Friday the 5th, in case you don't win. But if you would like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through will win a pair of tickets to our advanced screening of Frankenweenie. And don't assume anything by the name. It's about a wiener dog. It's about a little dog that a young Victor loves so dearly that he brings his beloved dog Sparky back to life.
Oh.
Only to face unintended, sometimes monstrous consequences. So, great cast, by the way, in terms of the voiceover actors who are working in this film. Mm-hmm. Winona Ryder. A lot of people worked with Johnny before have stepped up to work with him again. Winona Ryder's in this. Catherine O'Hara, Martin Landau, Christopher Lee. Great lineup. So, very exciting. Lindsay Lohan's back in the news. Apparently, she spent some quality time in a New York City hospital on Sunday night. She complained to friends that she had a bad case of walking pneumonia. And then decided to head to the hospital for some meds. She was in and out shortly afterwards, say people close to Lindsay, and she went back to her hotel to rest up.
Why are you putting all those words in
meds?
Air quotes.
Because I don't know what she got, but no. I bet it was the good stuff.
You can just walk into a hospital and ask for the good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Give me an IV of the good stuff. Dina Lohan, we were talking about her daughter moments ago. Dina wants another chance to talk to Dr. Phil because of her incoherent interview she did with
I want that to happen as well.
Well, Michael Lohan is stepping up now and making a comment on the situation.
Really?
He said she should not be allowed to have another interview. I wonder if he would like another interview or not.
Yeah.
He said what she needs is to sober up, stop using our kids as pawns, and fix your soul, he said to his ex-wife.
Wow.
That's, your soul?
That's a tall order. I got to fix my soul now?
How do you start on that process?
Got to get out of the soul shop and have them bang out the dents, and then they sand it, put some filler in, and give you a bright new coat of paint. And this is just sad. You remember the old TV series All in the Family?
Sure. Yes.
Sally Struthers was a cast member of that show. She played Gloria on that show. Probably best known for her commercials for starving kids. You see them late at night. She comes on and says, pennies a day will help feed these kids and stuff.
Right. And mockingly, she gets fatter every year.
She does. She's huge.
She continues to do those commercials.
Huge.
How about sharing some of that food with these kids you're talking about?
She got popped for drinking and driving in Maine a few weeks back. She's doing some theater there, apparently. But the real problem, say her friends now who are coming forward, is that she's a hoarder.
Really?
Yes. She's a celebrity hoarder. She has a house full of, this is an odd combination of things, Halloween masks, cocktail glasses, teapots, perfume bottles, anything collectible under 5 inches tall. Just everywhere you look, on the floors, on the shelves, on the counters, everything, everywhere you look is just tiny little collectible things. Friends say that they're hoping the arrest will serve as a wake-up call and she can get some personal help because she's got some issues.
I hope she doesn't live in earthquake country.
That's a good point. Her whole collection will be shards. And yesterday I reported that Eric Stone Street from Modern Family, who won the Emmy on Sunday night for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, is dating Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Eric Stone Street came forward yesterday and said the rumors about a romance between himself and Charlize Theron are absolutely untrue.
What?
He has no idea how they got started.
Right, but if it's you, let that one sit for a while.
That's what I'm thinking. I appreciate his honesty, right. But don't you use that to your advantage?
Just
especially when you're
there.
Meeting with other women. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm saying to Charlize, but you can beat her if you want. You could be the better woman if you want right now. You could say to people you stole Charlize Theron's boyfriend. I would work that angle. Eric's a funny guy. He tweeted that the rumors got started just to make Halle Berry jealous. So he's still hoping to find the source of that rumor. So, see, that gave fat guys hope everywhere. And then Eric Stone Street came and just took it away from all
yep.
of us. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, we got so many. Just so many birthdays. I'm not even going to worry about how old they are. I'm just going to give you the names, okay? It's a lot of stars.
And go.
Barbara Walters, Michael Douglas, Mark Hamill, Michael Madsen, Heather Locklear, Tate Donovan, Will Smith, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Santigold, Rashad Evans, T.I., Donald Glover.
That's insane. That's crazy. That's a month's worth.
Yes. That's like that's like someone reading off the who's going to be on an award show. It's not a birthday, but apparently all those people are celebrating birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So the main meals is what he refers to himself as. The main meals. Not sure why that's his name, but he's a guy in Britain who looks to be, I don't know, how old do you think this guy is? Maybe 30?
Yeah, probably 30, 35.
He has Asperger syndrome, so he's my hero, and he has Tourette syndrome, so he's Kevin's hero. So he has the two best diseases in the world, and he has his own YouTube channel where he makes videos about things that he becomes obsessed with.
Now, there's all kinds of Tourette's, tics, stuff like that, body motion, but the one that fascinates me is the person who can't stop cursing just out of the blue. You're just having a normal sentence, and then you throw in a curse word.
And why is that, by the way? Have they figured out why the brain does that? Like, why it's those words? Why isn't it types of soup or whatever?
Because the brain is awesome.
Why does it happen to be swear words, though? It's such a bizarre thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But I love it so much. And what's the song?
Nothing's Going to Change My Love for You by Glenn Medeiros, which was a big pop hit. I think it went to number two in about 1988 or so. And I don't know why.
Why would you choose this one?
Yeah, randomly, of all the songs in the world, why would you choose this song? I have no idea.
But it's good, and I'm going to play the audio for you now.
Yeah.
Okay, so the music just started, and he's already cursed three times.
All right. Ass!
No, we heard one. We can play one. Ass.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Why, if this guy knows this is what happens to him, and I don't know if he swears all the time. I don't know if he has the kind of Tourette's where it's nonstop, or if it only happens when he gets nervous or he gets behind the mic or he's trying to sing. I mean, I don't know anything about this dude. But why is he making these videos and putting them up?
I would guess that would lead us down the path we don't want to go down, which is he's faking it.
Oh.
I don't see anything on here that suggests he's faking it.
But
the way his fingers twitch.
But then
stuff,
why put
know,
it on?
He's pretty good.
I agree. But then why put it on? Is Bean's question is why does this guy
right.
do
it? Why would
but
he put it on?
Do you have a sense of humor about it at some point?
I don't know. I don't know how much realization you have or
maybe we're overthinking it. We need to take the Tourette's out of it and say, why, just because he has Tourette's, should he be any different than a million other people who put themselves singing up on YouTube just because they want to be stars? Maybe it's as simple as that.
But yes, but he's got to know that. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Let's hear some more.
Ass! Had to live my life without off you near me, the days would all be empty. Ass cheeks, ass cheeks. The nights would seem so long.
Now, what's funny to me is
everything.
He doesn't replace a word with the curse word. He gets all the words in. He just uses a curse word and then continues with the actual lyrics. He doesn't skip any words, which I love.
You I see forever, oh so clearly. Might have been in love before. You ass! But it never felt this strong. The dreams are young, and we both know they'll take us where we want to go. Hold me now, touch me. I don't want to live without you. Nothing's gonna change my
It's got kind of a hypnotic beat to it with all the beeps, doesn't it? It's like a click track.
Why does this guy not try for American Idol or The Voice or one of those singing shows? Wouldn't they love him?
He totally should.
Come on.
You would finally start watching. How many times when you saw this video, and thanks to the Kevin and Bean listener who tipped us off to this one, by the way.
Bean
how
said
many
it times, to be labeled as Kevin's favorite video ever.
Right. How many times did you watch it for reals? Because I know Lisa watched it at least twice.
And I watched
church.
It
Lisa
nine
went
or
to church
times.
And then prayed for forgiveness.
I watched it 9 or 10 times probably. And then I've gone back and watched it.
You want to know by now how much I love you. One thing you can be sure of, us never ask for more your love.
Now I will say this, it's when you just play it on the radio, it sounds like you could be joking.
Well, I did
more
hear
than it does when you watch it. When you watch it, you see little hand motions, you see his face. I want to believe. That's my thing.
I do believe.
It's possible that he's faking, but I have chosen to agree with Lisa. It's real, and it's the best thing ever.
Nothing's going to change my love for you. Ask! You want to know about How much I love you.
We should do a breakfast with this guy, B.
Oh, I love it.
One once my whole life through, but I'm gonna change my love.
Listen
for
to this.
You. Oh, the head. That's so easy.
We should talk to people who have this kind of Tourette's, although we'd have to be very careful with this censorship.
And how we deep them.
And just ask, like, do you have any control? Like, do you recognize it's happening? Can you shorten the amount of words?
That's a great idea.
Do you have any
control whatsoever? Great idea, yeah. Does it happen more when you're tired
nervous?
Or when you're stressed? Yeah, yeah, let's do it. I love it.
Love will lead away for ass. Like a guiding star.
Okay, I think that's probably about enough.
Are you kidding? I could listen to this all day.
I know. I feel like we have. All right, here's the end of the Monday Night Football game on ESPN last night. Packers, Seahawks, zero time on the clock. Russell Wilson, quarterback for Seattle, makes a last-minute Hail Mary pass.
As Wilson scrambles to keep it alive. The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings. Simultaneous, who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown!
Or maybe not so much a touchdown upon further review when it's obviously an interception by the Green Bay Packers. However, the W stands, and now the NFL is, or should be, ashamed. Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money Radio Show joins us in the parking lot of the NFL Network right now. It's going to be pretty quiet when you walk in there this morning, Money. They're not going to be very happy.
Now, how dare you say that this was an embarrassment? This was a celebration.
A celebration of...
this was a moment of great richness for all of us. But think about it. I mean, Dean, I respect that you live in Seattle, and that's great. You are interested in that game. Everybody's interested to some degree in Monday Night Football. But honestly, this outcome was so much better than anything the regular officials could have possibly given us, right?
So as long as you're not a fan of either team playing, it makes the game much more fascinating.
Or a gambler. Let's not forget those folks that got completely screwed in this.
Totally.
Would you agree with me? Can we all agree on the fact that Bean is a cheater?
I didn't have anything to do with it. Look, I'm as upset as anybody about this.
I'm asking our guest.
I think my favorite part is, you know, look, there are so many nuances to the review process in the NFL with officials. And people, oh, did you see that guy? And he totally shoved that other guy. Yeah, that can't be reviewed. All right, that is an act that cannot be reviewed.
Right.
So the fact that in the replay we see Golden Tate basically take out a pickaxe and jam it straight into the spine of a Green Bay Packer defender, that cannot be, you know, taken away or given back or however you want to describe it. You know, it's all about, did that guy catch the ball and score the touchdown or didn't he? And because one guy called it a touchdown at the field when the other one didn't, they determined there was no way in hell we're telling this crowd that wasn't a touchdown.
All right, but you think it came down in the end to home field advantage, really?
Well, you know what? That's actually been a big issue with these replacement refs. And just going back to the gambling community, one thing that they've recognized, and that is that these referees are intimidated. They're intimidated by players. They're intimidated by home field advantage. They're intimidated by head coaches.
And by getting bear hugged by Bill Belichick, they're intimidated by that?
Exactly. So, look, it's a hot mess. I mean, there is no other way to describe it. They have... You know, and the other problem is they're not convincing. You know, when they make their calls, there have been calls made when flags haven't even been thrown, and coaches are like, wait a minute, why did play stop? What are we doing? Oh, pass interference. Well, where the hell's the flag? Oh, I forgot to throw it. I mean, like that's the kind of crap that's been happening. Or they'll flip on the mic, hold on.
Yeah.
So when that happens, you have absolutely zero faith in what they see out there, because they can't sell you on the idea that they know what they're watching.
A lot of people don't realize what a big role that plays. In all sports, if a ref makes a call and is 1,000% sure of himself, you may disagree, but at least you feel like he saw what he thinks he saw.
Right.
Well, it's the old Kevin Ryder, you know, how do I get into a spot where I don't belong? You just walk to the front door and pretend like you do. You know?
Act like you own it, exactly.
Exactly, and you sell it, and they just can't sell it. I mean, that's the problem more than anything. These guys
touched interception. Touchdown. Let's go by crowd reaction. Who wants it to be a touchdown?
Hey, Money. Bean. That play last night encapsulates the referees perfectly because it is the last play of the game. Its outcome determines who wins and who loses. And within 3 feet, you could paint a circle. And inside that 3 foot diameter, 3 foot radius circle, you've got two guys in stripes.
Right.
One with his hands in the air signaling touchdown, the other one waving his hands, interception and touchback.
Right.
That's it right there.
And the guy that was signaling touchdown, I think his head was in between the Seattle Seahawk and the ball. He was that close.
I don't know how he missed that.
Money, every week, you on your radio show with Petros, we on the Kevin Abidjo have been saying, thank God, at least as far as we know, a game outcome hasn't been affected by the refs. But when it does, that's going to be the apocalyptic moment that they're going to have to settle this thing. They're going to have to seriously make moves. Are we at that point yet, or can the NFL continue to sit back and go, no deal?
No, I think the NFL is steadfast in their belief that these guys that work 16 to 20 days a year wanting full pension, full health, is ludicrous.
Ludicrous as a referee?
It's a principled stance for them. And I just don't know how Roger Goodell, because, you know, I mean, and this is something that you just look down the line. Okay, well, now we give guys to work 20 days a year, all these benefits, all these, and even though it's 60 grand per team, what are players going to want? Where does it end? And I think that's sadly, you know, even though we look at it as entertainment and sport, this is still your standard, you know, bourgeoisie versus proletariat debate, you know, working class versus ownership and who deserves what. And I don't know. Look, 200 million people watched football this week. It's not affecting the bottom line.
It's not affecting the ratings. It's not affecting the income. But it will eventually affect, like in boxing, the
credibility of the sport.
The credibility of the sport. Right.
You're right. And that's the one way where this position can move. And that's it. Look, Roger Goodell is not some, I mean, is he an authority figure? Yes. Is he a dictator? To some degree. But he's employed by those 32 owners. And, you know, that's what he does. He represents their collective position. That's his job as commissioner. So when you've got the Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots and more teams saying, enough, you know, all right, fine. We'll give them the extra 60 grand. I don't like it, but we've got to do something. So when they go to Roger Goodell and say, we're over this, we're done, We want this fixed, that's what he's got to do. It's not up to him.
Talking to Matt Money Smith about the ref situation. Do you think that's going to happen in the next week?
I thought it was going to happen after week two.
You did.
You know, because week two was a mess. I mean, week two was a disaster. But I think this, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this week. Because neither side is adjusting their position. And you know damn well the referees that are locked out aren't moving a bit because they've got public sentiment on their side.
No kidding. Let me just ask one more question. The refs, you say, have all of the public sentiment. It's really the referees' fault, this whole thing, right? Because they're asking for too much?
Yeah, I mean, look, I hate injecting myself into those positions. I don't, you know.
I don't.
It certainly seems like.
Yeah.
Asking for what they're asking for a group that, you know, even if you include travel, you know, and getting to where they need to be and officials meetings, I mean, you're talking about maybe 50 to 60 days of work. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but look, employer-based health care is completely incongruous anyway. I mean, it makes no sense. But to have it for guys that work 16 games a year.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know, and so it's hard for me to not sympathize to some degree with Roger Goodell, just kind of knowing where that debate is in our country right now, and just to say, oh, this is simple greed on the part of the owners. No, it's a principled stance, and I guess this, and I understand that.
This is why we have Matt Money Smith on, because he's able to frame it in a way we hadn't thought about before. That was good stuff there, Money. Listen, Petros and Money, this afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 570. I'm sure you guys will have much, much more on this. Thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, dude. Bye. Did you know it's National One-Hit Wonder Day? We'll talk about that coming up in about 20 minutes or so. I wonder if bands want to be a one-hit wonder, or if it's better in some cases to not have a hit, because then you don't have that around your neck for the rest of your lives.
I don't know. I would think you would want at least some recognition for your music.
I would think so, too.
But then it would suck.
Then it would suck after that if you're that guy who sang that song 20 years ago. Exactly, right. Anyway, that's coming up. Also, tickets for Breakfast with the Black Keys here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla and The Killers join us in studio later on as well. So a lot of shows still to come right now. Afro calls are on the air from you at 323-520-AFRO. That's The Kevin and Bean voicemail. You can call anytime. Leave us a message, whatever's on your mind.
Hey, Lisa May. I love when you clear your throat when you're doing your stupid news, because it makes me think maybe you're doing something last night.
Just eating yogurt, my friend. Oh, a lot of yogurt.
That's not yogurt.
I also like that he characterized it as your stupid news.
Right, exactly. Well, she is the news broad. Come on.
This woman be crazy. And that's why we love her.
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney, I'm not.
Oh, that's good news.
Oh, I was thinking that. Thank you for clarifying.
That's good news. And then people hear that woman and they respond by doing their impression of her.
And in the end, the talent agent asked, what is the name of your act? And the dad said, the Louisiana Purchase. Also, I am that crazy.
Well done. Crazy woman, again.
Margaret Starr is not my mother, and she is rich. Have a blast.
Some good advice.
Okay.
Another impression.
Mitt Romney and Barack Obama went to Dr. Weaver's office yesterday, and they were told that they had been fired. That bitch is crazy, but I love her as well.
Me too. She crazy. And if you want to do an impression of her, please feel free to call the Afro line. I was not here last week, which makes me question this next call.
So then being you guys are doing that segment on romantic memories. So did you guys both wake up this morning and realize you have vagina? What is this about? I don't listen to Kevin and Bean to listen to romantic gestures. Grow some, guys.
You guys didn't do romantic memories.
Not romantic memories. Gestures. Yeah,
we were talking about that guy who tried to ship himself in a box to his girlfriend to surprise her in the office.
And almost died.
Yeah, got delivered to the wrong place. He almost died. Yeah, so we were doing grand romantic gestures and how they went wrong.
I got you.
You know, like somebody singing on the rooftop and then they fall off the roof and break their leg. We had calls like that. It was actually kind of fun.
We had gone wrong to anything and it entertains us. Here's a guy who's taking us to task as well.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. You guys suck. Why do you keep making fun of Beer Mug? Beer Mug is, like, the best thing on radio. Why are you trying to take away my one chance to actually hear somebody die on the radio? I mean, he's going to die any day now, right?
Most likely.
Look at him. Possible.
Yeah. He's our version of that crazy woman on the Afro line. Bean, do you have the Colin Hanks clip from high school?
Yes.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive. When Kevin's on vacation.
How dare you? At least this woman likes me.
Hi, this message is for Kevin. I just really wanted to say that you're an amazing, amazing broadcaster.
Thank you.
I mean, your skills.
Thank you.
I just can't believe it.
You.
You're awesome. You provide so much entertainment.
Thank you.
And the things you say are just so, so powerful. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And I just want to say thank you to K-Rock for allowing a special needs person to host the radio show. I mean, that was a big risk, but it really paid off. I mean, poor Kevin with his funny lines and his toss-up. I mean,
all right.
Bravo. Bravo.
Okay. All right. Wow, she piled it on pretty thick there. But at least this guy's got my back.
Kevin E. Spook, outside my window. Kevin E. Spook, behind the tree. I wish to be crispy. There's a pervert looking right at me. But there's a Kevin E. Spook outside my window pane.
Nice. Getting into that time of year.
But for... We don't need that spook song, A, and Kevining's pretty much run its course, B.
It's funny you should say that, because there's like a new batch of photos up at KevinMead.com of the sensation that is Kevining. Kevining is all about replicating my man Kevin's pose for the Arclight Cinema poster that he did, which is kind of hard to explain. You know the Tourette's guy we were listening to a few minutes ago? It's that look, really. You're kind of looking in the sky at some non-fixed point. You're doing something with your hands that can't be explained, and you take a photo like that, and you upload it to KevinandBean.com. Have you seen the new batch, Kevin?
No.
Have you seen the guy Kevining on Talk Like a Pirate Day in his full outfit? No. We got Kevin photos from everywhere, from San Francisco to Ottawa to listeners, you know, podcast listeners in Waco. Somebody was Kevining out in front of the Mustard Museum in Wisconsin. They sent in their pictures. Shotgun Tom Kelly from K-Earth is Kevining now.
What?
Hot listener Jessica is Kevining. It's worth going to the gallery just to check that out.
I remember sitting in the office, and Ralph came across that picture and fell out of his chair laughing on the floor.
Because it's priceless.
And then I remember thinking, wow, I hope this goes away soon because it's embarrassing. And then Ralph said we have to do Kevining, and then I thought, oh, no, this is going to last 3 or 4 days now.
Well, try 3 or 4 weeks because the gallery gets expanded every single day thanks to Kevin and Bean listeners around the world who are Kevining and sending in their photos at KevinandBean.com. You can see the whole thing, and you can call us on the Afro line anytime at 323-520-AFR. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show at 6:50. Oh, you said that.
Yep. 6:53.
You guys done? You all get it all worked out now?
Still 6:53.
What time is it now?
Time for the show.
Now here's Ralph at 7:07.
What time is it now?
6:53.
All right. Since it's a Tuesday.
20 seconds.
In the words of the illustrious Steve Jones of Jonesy's Jukebox fame, let's take a look at the new releases for Tuesday. New CDs available today.
Tell me. You know I get excited.
Ooh, don't tell us. I don't want to witness that.
You don't want to hear Bean get excited
God,
in any
no.
way?
What comes out today, Ralph? What do I need to buy?
Album title goes here by Deadmau5.
I hear that's terrible, by the way.
Album title goes here.
Yeah.
See?
See lazy.
What he did there? He's a lazy artist. Can't come up with his own title. You got to fill in your own title.
Was it Saturday Night Live that they called him Deadmau5 Bean? I forget where they
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that. That's
Dead
funny.
Deadmau5.
Album title goes here. Name your. You got to name it yourself. All right, I'm going to name it Not Buying. I'm going to label it. Babel by Mumford & Sons.
Yeah.
New banjo music out today.
Yeah.
I'm check that out. A little band called Green Day has got a new CD out available today called Uno.
Uno.
And Push and Shove by a little band called No Doubt.
Wow.
Comes out today. So, it's good times. I just got my hot little hands on that. I'm going to slap it in my car.
Your hands are hot?
On the way home and crank up some Gwen. Get ready for those live shows. On DVD, you can get Marvel's The Avengers starring Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and Mark Ruffalo, among others. Well, I've been thinking a lot about this movie lately. I caught it again recently. And I've always said for the longest time that no matter how many good superhero movies come and go in our lifetime, to me, still the best superhero movie, the perfect pitched, just spot on, great balance of fun plus reverence for the material, in my opinion, has always and still
Jason X.
been the original Superman film by Richard Donner. I thought as a comic book movie, it really just hit the perfect notes. I think Avengers beat it.
Do you really?
I think the Avengers may be the perfect comic book movie. It really is.
I watched it again
remarkable.
Recently and was also surprised at how good it was, even though I knew it was.
Yeah, I thought the same way when I watched it. I was like, wow, this Joss Whedon just got it right on almost every level. So it's available on DVD if you want to pick it up. TV shows on DVD available today. Portlandia Season 2. If you're missing Portlandia, you're missing a very funny show. You can check that out. Gossip Girl, the complete fifth season.
Oh, I love Gissup Garl.
An American Horror Story. Is this a miniseries? Is it a series? What's going on,
That's
FX?
Crazy.
I don't know. That was weird.
They made it a miniseries.
Getting the Emmys for miniseries nominations. Yeah, Jessica it was a Lange. Come on. It's a series, right? It's a canceled series. It's
totally a series. And I feel like, look, it's impossible to keep up with all the shows, especially now there's so many good ones. But I feel like I missed the boat by not watching American Horror Story because I've heard nothing but raves about it. I'm totally in on season two, but I think I may check out this season one, too. I feel like I missed out.
Is there going to be a season
two? Wait, you said it was canceled.
Yes.
Is it
really?
No, season two starts in a couple weeks.
A whole new cast.
Yeah.
Well, Jessica Lange is back. I think a couple of other people are back playing different roles.
What the what?
Yeah.
What and now it's a miniseries again.
What they can go for Emmys all over again.
Every season they're going to play. They're going to have some of the same
Somebody
characters.
Somebody else moves into the house.
Playing no, they're completely
new
different.
House.
This one is set in an insane asylum.
Oh, see, no,
yeah, and it looks amazing. No. Season two looks incredible.
No.
I'm in.
Nope.
No, I know. Nope. I'm in.
Just don't call it American Horror Story.
All right.
And then bring me a whole new thing. You're doing it. Or you're not doing it.
One or the other.
One or the other. Because I know Connie Britton's in that new Nashville show. She plays a
That's
country
right.
singer in that new series. So I was wondering if they were going to do it again because I knew she was otherwise occupied.
Yeah, they got all new people. I don't have it in front of me, but a great cast. Chloe Sevigny. There's a lot of other really good actors in this new round two also.
You guys watching Revolution again last night?
Yeah, I watched last night.
Oh, so good. Randall's here. Who's Randall?
I know. Randall's
Who's
here.
Randall?
I don't know, but he's got a power pendant.
He sure is here.
He's sure got a power pendant.
He has a power pendant.
Yeah.
What does it mean he's here?
I don't know. Randall scares me.
Is that good? Is it bad?
I don't know. I'm scared. And bad news for Black Girl with a computer. That's all I know.
That's what it seems like.
She's got troubles now.
Is that the character's name?
Yes.
Yes.
Black Girl with a computer. No, she's got a name. I'm not familiar enough. It's only two episodes. I'm not familiar enough with the characters to call them by name.
But, I know the hot lead star. That's all I know. I don't know her name.
Hottie McNeese.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hottie McNeese.
Yeah. And Miles. He's a badass.
Yeah,
I know Miles. Who that's now it. Apparently they're trying to tell us has some connection with the Monroe Republic.
Yeah, yeah.
He's part of the militia or not or what? I don't know. But Randall's here.
And who's Randall and why does that upset us?
That's right. And Elizabeth Mitchell. Hottie Momster, she's in Philadelphia writing the Declaration of Independence for some reason. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I love it. Yeah, that revolution. Good show. Linda Lohan, back in the news. She apparently... TMZ reported walking pneumonia. Hollywood Reporter is saying she had a bad case of asthma that sent her to the hospital on Sunday night.
Did we know she had asthma?
I never knew that. But I do know the best thing for asthma is smoking down two packs a day, Lindsay. I know, that's what they recommend.
The
AMA,
will tell you that.
The AMA says. Because, you know, you don't want to baby your lungs. If you have asthma, you just want to teach them a lesson and get them to toughen up a little.
You got
to
let them know who's boss.
Give them a challenge. And it's like working out. Your muscles get stronger, and the more you put stress and tension on those muscles, the stronger and more powerful they get.
A lot of people don't know that about asthma.
So she went to the hospital on Sunday night. They gave her a carton of smokes and sent her on her way. She apparently had to get some meds, and then she went back to her hotel to rest up. With three or four guys in a baggie of white powder.
That, right?
No, it's what it's. Apparently, the medication came in the form of a white powder in a plastic baggie.
You don't know.
And
that.
Three young,
that's not
allegedly
black male nurses that's were sent home
true.
With her to.
That's alleged.
Help All right, her out.
Let me ask you guys this question because Lindsay Lohan has been a punchline for years, especially on this show. When you saw the trailer for the Liz and Dick miniseries during the Emmys on Sunday night, didn't it kind of look good?
No, it did look good. It not even kind of. It looked absolutely good for me.
By the way, I think she's a decent actress.
I think she's real good.
She just can't stay out
she
of trouble.
Can
but can, I think what Bean's question is, can you divorce yourself
yeah,
from the public
right.
train wreck that is Lindsay Lohan now compared to her work? Is she that good an actress? Can she overcome that stuff?
I was thrown off by Dina Lohan trailing her in the... running after her in the trailer.
Yeah, that was strange.
Like, that was weird. Yeah. Like, there comes a Charlie Sheen point where all of a sudden it doesn't matter what character... Tom
right.
Cruise, same thing. Doesn't matter what character he plays anymore. Now he's just that star.
You just see the lunatic.
Right.
Yeah.
I just see the rack.
Lindsay's lungs apparently were airtight! So she had to go to the hospital and get fixed up. And not to be outdone... Lindsay's major competitor in the crazy off, Amanda Bynes, missed her court date yesterday.
Good.
Judge was very pleased about that.
Good. They usually are.
Judge specifically asked Amanda to make an appearance in Los Angeles County Court. Her lawyer was there to answer charges and why she got a speeding ticket less than a week after her DUI arrest and why she was driving on a suspended license. The judge's decision apparently will be handed down in about 2 weeks, but he isn't likely to be impressed since he specifically asked her to be in court. Where was she? Well, it turns out Amanda has moved to New York to start her fashion line. Was spotted over the weekend at various locations in New York City. So no word on whether she's going to come back or whether New York has extradition rights. Can we send her back? Can we put her in a cage and send her on a freighter to get her back here? I don't know how it works, but the judge was not happy. Judge was not happy with... Ambi.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I like to call it. Today's celebrity birthdays, just too many to mention. I'm just going to run them through for you because there's just a lot. Barbara Walters, Michael Douglas, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, 61 years old today. How can that be?
Wow.
He's older now than Yoda.
Prostate enlarged you have.
Michael Madsen, talented actor. 54 years old today. Heather Locklear, Tate Donovan, Will Smith, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Rashad Evans of the MMA, and T.I. and Donald Glover also celebrating birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Do we need the thing for the deal with the... No.
Sure.
Okay. Breakfast with the Black Keys has been announced on the Kevin and Bean Show. Just told you yesterday the boys are going to be here at K-Rock on Friday morning, October 5th, which, by the way, I think is like a week from Friday.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you want to see the Black Keys up close and personal and help us, Kevin and Bean, interview them, it's Breakfast with the Keys. You can call right now 1-800-520-1067. We're going to give you a chance to earn those tickets playing a game coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, did you know it was One Hit Wonder Day?
I did not. I don't keep up with what the days are because most of them are just nonsense. But every once in a while, something like this comes along that's kind of fun to celebrate.
Yeah.
I think this one's nonsense, too, but I love it. David Moy joins us on the phone from the Huffington Post. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good, and it's because it's nonsense that it's worth celebrating.
All right.
Exactly. Like Talk Like a Pirate Day. No one takes it seriously, but it's just a lot of fun. Now, David, I have to ask, in the interest of full disclosure, are you the guy who came up with National One Hit Wonder Day, or are you just celebrating somebody else's holiday?
Music writer Steve Rosen created National One Hit Wonder Day in 1990 as a birthday gift to himself because he loves one hit wonders. But he stopped it in 2001 after 9/11, and last year we were going through... old copies and old stories, and we realized, oh my gosh, this is coming up. Let's do it back with his permission. We brought it back.
We don't stop One Hit Wonder Day because it's September 11th or the terrorists have won.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. We all are huge music fans, and I am fascinated with One Hit Wonders because sometimes they're great songs. Sometimes they're brilliant songs that stand the test of time, and you go, how did the stars align for that group of musicians at that time and that place to make a brilliant piece of work like that, and then they could never even get close to the charts again after that? I mean, it really is a mystery, isn't it?
Yes. Last year I spoke with the guy that wrote Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, you know, Looking Glass.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that. Can you sing more of it?
Well, look, there's a port on a Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So, the thing is that guy admitted, man, if I could do that again, I'd do it all over. I mean, and that's like a perfect example of a pop song where everything just aligns, and you listen to the rest of the stuff, and it's okay, but it doesn't have that certain... snap, crackle, or pop that
right.
makes just a record. And
they're not always
thing.
Good songs either.
No.
Sometimes they're horrible, but you can't get them out of your head.
Right.
A little bit of Vonda by my side, a little bit of, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mambo number 5.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see.
That song is pure crap, and yet
right.
you can't get it out of your head.
Right. Now, the guy did have a follow-up called It's Tricky, but it never seemed to... it was tricky. It didn't really necessarily... I think he did like a couple variety shows or something on it, and that's it.
Wow. Yeah, and of course, his
big hit, the Mambo No. 5, was just a remake of a song that had been a hit in the 40s, too. So it's not even like he sat down and crafted his own thing. What about, why is it, do you think, that so many, and a lot of the ones that we played on K-Rock back in the day, you know, Come On Eileen by the Dexys, Midnight Runners comes to mind. There's a lot of them.
She Blinded Me with Science.
She Blinded Me with Science. A lot
hey,
of these...
give me some time. I have those clips, people.
All right. I'm sorry. I had a question, but... Okay, go ahead. A lot of those acts managed to have other hits around the world. You know, you go to Europe and Thomas Dolby may have 5 hits. You go to Norway, Aha has 20 hits. I mean, why is it that it just there's just one in the U.S. and they're one and out?
Well, because the U.S. is the center for pop. I hate to sound, you know, totally jingoistic, but the U.S. is the center of pop culture. When something makes it in the U.S., it's a sign that okay, there may, you know, it finally has made it. It just happens to be, we've got so much stuff to consume that we don't always have a chance to appreciate Alanna Miles' songs besides Black Velvet or, you know, or the Simple Chain or Chumbawamba's many, well, they didn't have many hits.
They didn't really have anything except for this.
And, of course, they lied about, you know, getting up again because they just broke up earlier this year, as we recall. They're no longer getting back up again. So that was
pissing the night away.
Yes, exactly. When Steve or you have talked to members of bands in One Hit Wonders, are they grateful for the hit because at least they've got their place in pop history? Or is it sometimes, you know, a heavy stone that they wear around their neck that they're embarrassed about?
Well, now Alan O'Day did Undercover Angel. He had he wrote other hits for other artists. He's grateful about the song, and he really, you know, is happy for the connection that it gives him. But like, for instance, I've been trying to get Alicia Bridges, who's a I love the nightlife. She's mm-hmm. a Facebook friend of mine, but she said, please do not mention me or include me in any article or press that you do.
Nice work.
So. Yeah, so, oops, I just violated that.
You just mentioned it.
but the thing is, she didn't want to be mentioned with it because for some reason, and that's bad because, I mean, that to me is a classic song, and I love that. You know, I'd love to be able to give her some love. Most of the time, I think people appreciate just how hard it is just to even get to be a one-hit wonder. Now, a lot of these guys, like, for instance, I talked with Chris Butler of the Waitresses, you know, I Know What Boys Like. He doesn't necessarily know what boys like, but he knows how to write the song I Know What
sure.
Boys Like. He, you know, he said that the royalties that he got from I Know What Boys Like allowed him to save up the down payment to buy Jeffrey Dahmer's boyhood home in Ohio, where he was able to live for many years. He recently sold it.
So is that good?
He was happy with it.
Okay.
He said it was really quiet, and, you know.
I will tell you this, and by the way, we're talking about National One Hit Wonder Day with David Moy from the Huffington Post right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Alt Strat, which is a terrible Twitter name, by the way, David.
Yeah, I know. I got it when I was doing another job, and I just haven't bothered changing it. I've been too busy writing the weird news to change the Twitter handle.
I will tell you, though, that I have a feeling that there are bands who are hurt by their big hit. I'll give you an example. A group like Hanson, for instance, that everybody knows from Bop, they're stuck in time. For a lot of people, they think, oh, Hanson are 15-year-old kids who sing this bubblegum pop. In the meantime, they've gone on and had 5 or 6 albums of pretty good music since then, but it's very difficult for them to find an audience. They can't get anyone to take them seriously because their big number one hit was so big, I think it worked against them.
But, you know, the thing is they've been putting in the years. And with them, they're going to benefit from the 20-year nostalgia cycle that usually happens. It seems like nostalgia goes in 20-year cycles. And somebody is able to make it based on, 20 years. You go, oh, that's so affectionate. Then they're able to accept something new. So they may benefit because they were young enough when it happened that they won't be totally like, AARP members by the time of 20 years.
So you just tell them, look, that's a great song, but you're going to have to wait 19 years to get your
exactly.
Your
it sucks for you now, but 19 years from now, all the chicks are going to want you. All right, before
see,
we go.
I told Tino, the guy from Big Mountain who did the reggae version of Baby, I Love Your Way. I told him 2014's your year, dude.
Do you have a least favorite one-hit wonder before we go? Is there one that you hate to this day that you can't believe was a hit in the first place?
Well, I know why it was a hit, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. The Macarena, I think, would definitely qualify on that list.
Wow.
Bad 90s flashbacks when you hear that. It's just, it still gets under your skin when it does come up. It still drives you crazy?
Yes, absolutely. I'm already back at the cruise ship right now wondering when Isaac's going to bring me my pina colada.
Well, happy National One-Hit Wonder Day. Thank you so much for joining us, David. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
This is going to be fun. Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Black Keys happens a week from Friday, October 5th, in the Red Bull Sound Space. Huge band, tiny little place you get to help us interview. And we're going to do it right now with a game that we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, I hate the stupid rules. Hate them so much. All right, who's going to be doing our licking today?
Our new intern, Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
Who, poor Natalie, has never heard of this game.
I love it.
She is in shock.
Yeah. All right, listen up, everybody. Natalie and the people on the phone getting ready to play. Here's the way it works. Kevin is going to be asking a question of the caller, okay? The answer is going to be a number, all right?
It's not of the caller. It's of Lisa.
Yes.
Right. Well, with the caller on the line, okay. a question is going to be asked. We're looking for a number for an answer. Lisa is going to give her answer. It will be a number, and then the caller needs to just say whether the actual answer is higher, lower, or the same. If the caller licks Lisa, if the caller is right and Lisa is wrong, well, then Natalie gets to do some licking too, and the caller goes into the drawing to win the Black Keys tickets. Everybody straight on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not me.
I think it will reveal itself as we play the game. Why don't we start with line number one? Miranda is going to be our first contestant. Hi, Miranda. Thanks for calling. You ready to go?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
All right.
Hello.
Hi,
Lisa.
And again, listen up. Lisa answers first, so hold your thoughts.
The Black Keys are from Akron, Ohio, which is also the home of the National Inventors Museum and the home of the breakfast cereal oatmeal. In 1997, the Starbucks chain started offering oatmeal to go, resulting in a huge rise in oatmeal consumption. Lisa, how many Starbucks restaurants are there in the United States?
Oh, God. There's four right by me. It's got to be...
More than that?
More than four.
How many Starbucks in the United States?
30,000.
30,000 is the actual answer. Higher, lower, or the same, Miranda?
Higher.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No.
Almost 13,000. 12,937.
So you did not lick Lisa. I'm sorry. You don't have a shot at the Black Keys tickets. Natalie, you hold your tongue. Your time is coming, my dear. Michael is up next on line two. Michael, thanks for calling. Hi. Ready to play Lick Lisa?
Yes, I am.
Good luck.
A famous athlete is also from Akron, Ohio, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
He played basketball for St. Vincent St. Mary High School. Out of high school, LeBron James joined the NBA. To date, his highest point total in one game is 56, which is nothing compared to Kobe Bryant's 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. In Toronto, they speak French. Lisa, how many people are in France? How many people are...
By the way, in Toronto, they don't speak French, by the way, just so you know. That's Montreal.
That's Montreal. Money, huh?
Please, I wrote it. That's close enough. Isn't that close enough for me?
How many people are in France is, in fact, the question.
How many people are in France?
20 million.
All right. Michael?
Michael.
Oh.
Higher, lower, or is she exactly right?
Oh, boy. I will say...
We do need
higher.
An answer.
Just higher.
Yes. Yes.
Higher it is. Yes. 63,136,000. 63 million.
They are producing.
You lick Lisa. Natalie gets to lick Lisa.
Natalie, you lick. Oh,
do I choose? Or do you right? choose?
No, you choose. You choose. I told
choose.
You where we normally
yeah,
do it.
Okay. We'll start.
Start. Shoulder.
Okay. Oh, nice shoulder lick.
All right. Michael is in the drawing for the Black Keys tickets. Let's move on now to Molly on line three. Molly, good luck. Time to play Lick Lisa. Remember, Lisa answers first.
Okay. The Black Keys drummer is Patrick Carney. The word carney is used to represent people who travel with a carnival. At carnivals, one of the tasty treats you can buy is a funnel cake. Funnel cakes are made by pouring batter through a funnel into a pan to fry. Lisa, how many calories are there in a typical funnel cake?
Oh,
how many calories in a funnel cake?
Funnel
we went
cake.
From the Black Keys drummer's yes. name, Patrick Carney, to how many calories in a funnel cake? Yes. That's how that question went.
750.
750. Molly, is that exactly right, or is the answer higher or lower?
I think it's higher.
You're right. 760.
I am so good at calories.
What happened?
I
want
calories.
You're a calorie expert.
I am. I'm crazy with the calories.
That's
unbelievable. Come back.
But she licked Lisa. Congratulations.
Yep. Natalie's like, oh, I don't think that's right.
Natalie, turn it up, for God's sakes. Turn
I like
it up.
The back of the neck,
okay,
Natalie.
All right.
Oh, very nice.
All right. Molly is also in the running along with Michael for Black Keys tickets. I think we have time for maybe one more here, Kevin. All right, Vince.
Yes. Hey, Kevin B. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there.
Vince, the Black Keys released their music on Fat Possum Records. Possums, when terrified, usually freeze in place, also known as playing possum. A possum can fight when pushed, though. Lisa, how many teeth does a normal possum have? How many teeth?
All the better to eat funnel cakes with. In France. At a Starbucks. Where they speak
I'm
English.
Say 30.
30 teeth. All right. Is the actual answer high or lower or the same, Vince?
It's the same.
You think she's right on? Right
I'm
on.
Really good with what teeth.
What are the chances? What are the chances?
You think she's right on the money with 30?
Lisa knows how many teeth a possum have. I just want to make sure that's what you're saying, right, Vince? I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's 50.
50. Wow.
That's a lot of teeth.
That's a
right?
ton of teeth.
Yeah. Thank you for trying anyway, Vince. The answer is never the same, by the way, just so you know. We have to offer it to you, but it's never the same. Michael is in the drawing. Molly is in the drawing. I can't believe we're going to ask Beer Mug for something that counts. But Beer Mug, who wins the tickets to join us at Breakfast with the Black Keys?
Molly, line three.
That would be Molly. Yay! Congratulations, Molly.
Good job, Molly.
You will be.
Yeah.
You'll be at the breakfast. Thanks for playing.
Lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her. Vagina.
New Black Keys there, Little Black Submarines, by the way, playing two nights at Staples Center, October 5th and 6th, and then they're playing the Honda Center on October 8th. Tickets still available for that one. And, of course, they'll be with us at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock on Friday, October 5th. More chances to win coming up. The most controversial call in the history of NFL? Is it possible that that happened last night?
Yeah, I would say it's controversial because it's only 100% wrong and decided the game.
For those who didn't watch or don't care about Monday Night Football, a lot of people in your life are very sad today. And here's the shortest possible version of what happened. Last minute Hail Mary touchdown pass from the Seattle quarterback that was clearly intercepted by the Green Bay Packers. The refs called it a touchdown. Seahawks win the game. Packers lose. That's what happened. They take it to review. Here's what the refs come back with.
This is deciding who wins the game on this
After
call.
Further ado, the call on the field stands. Touchdown.
Seahawks win in the most bizarre finish you'll ever see.
You know what's funny?
You need to try. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead, play your clip. I thought it was done.
What's funny is, which call are you going with on the field?
That's a really
because
good
there
question.
Because there were refs 2 feet apart giving different signals.
Yeah, and what's frustrating is these are not the real refs. These are, look, some of these refs, not a joke, came over from the Lingerie League. I mean, they just got these refs
that's
from.
That's a joke.
It's not a joke.
What?
They got these refs from everywhere. And that's why there's so much controversy, because there's some sort of a labor, stoppage, strike deal going on, and the league and the refs cannot get together, and the real refs may never come back the way this is going. So obviously a lot of people who care and love about the sport of football are very, very upset about the integrity of the game. So we wanted to find out more about this, and believe it or not, the Replacement Refs Association has a hotline that you can call, and I believe producer Dave gave us the number. We can dial them up and find out what they're – I mean, I don't even know if they have an official statement or if they just say, look, that's the way the game is played, is refs make a call and you stand by and we move on to the next week or what, but I don't know how you excuse this one.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Replacement Refs Association hotline. If you would like to compliment us on the fine work that we're doing, press 1 now.
No.
If you would like to buy us a gift,
no.
Would like to hear our wish list on Amazon.com,
no.
Press 2 now.
Rather well, not that's that. Not happening.
If you have a complaint or question about a call made during this week's NFL game, press 3 now. Hold on a second. Four. Press 4 now.
Oh, no.
Hold on. 1 second, please.
3 or 4.
After further review, we ask that you would press 3 now.
All right, 3.
You have a question or complaint about a call made during this weekend's NFL game.
That's correct.
Last night.
If your question is about, 1, football, press 1 now.
Well, of course it's about... That's what you guys do.
If you have a question about the Lingerie League, press 2 now.
Well, I think we're... Later. That's for later. I think
if you would like a signed autograph picture of one of the replacement refs, press 3 now.
Nope.
I think he pressed 1. Hold on, hold on a second.
Who's he talking to?
After further review,
okay.
We don't want to talk about the call. We'd much rather you buy us a gift.
Right, but we don't want to. What do I push for that?
If you would like to buy us a gift.
Nope.
No.
I want to hear the Amazon.com wish list.
No, we'd like to complain about the
refs.
We want to complain about the replacement refs in all of the NFL games the first 3 weeks of the season.
If you would like to still complain about a call.
Yes.
Press, hold on a second.
What? 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 6.
These refs cannot get it together.
We are counting off what number you should press.
Okay.
We placed the phone at the wrong spot.
Okay.
We would like you to go back to the beginning of the phone call.
We don't have time for that.
This is terrible.
Walk off 4 beeps.
What?
And then press a number no larger than 7.
See, they can't handle the phone either.
Less than 1.
All right.
But only a prime number divisible by pi.
You guys are new at this, aren't you?
I can't figure it. I'm just saying, some people can pull that off.
And he can. He's
not one of them.
He is razor sharp and laser focused.
Pierre Mugg, who works behind the scenes here, is checking his fantasy football players' stats during the show.
Yeah.
And he doesn't exactly have an exemplary record.
No, I'm telling you.
When it comes to multitasking.
We're changing his name from Beer Mug to Laser Razor. Because that's the only thing you can describe him.
Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ronnie and Brandon from The Killers are going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour today talking about their new record, Battle Born. That's on the way. And tomorrow on the show, not only will John Cryer, Emmy-winning actor John Cryer, be on from 2.5 Men, Neil Patrick Harris on the show tomorrow, and Ralph, just for you, your ultimate foe, the Toy Hunter.
Oh, I'm going to take on the Toy Hunter.
I've never heard of the Toy Hunter until I saw Ralph's cartoon rage against him.
Oh, Toy Hunter and I are going to throw down.
I can't wait. I'm very excited about that.
They should call him the Toy Pirate.
That is going to be all tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Talking about Beer Mug, and I kid you not, Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I did our Hollywood Babylon show in Agoura Hills at the Canyon Club. And so we did the show, and we were a little we had a little extra time at the end. So Kevin said, let's do something different. Let's throw up the lights to the crowd, and we'll do a little Q&A. So we started in Q&A, and people were asking, Kevin, how did you come up with the idea for Dogma? And Ralph, can you tell us anything about the upcoming Joe Schmo 3? And then we were going back and forth, having a great time. And so we said, okay, we have just time for one more question. And I pointed to the guy way in the back of the room, and from the back we heard, when are you getting rid of Beer Mug?
Was it Bean?
No, it wasn't. I laughed so hard.
And then that was the end of the Q&A portion of our show. But it was very entertaining.
Perfect way to end it.
It was, really. I said, I will meet you up back, sir, with a bag of money and a handgun. And we'll work something out. So. I've got tickets to give away. Not here. I just want to give you a heads up. All day long here on the Showbiz Beat. I still have tickets to give away for Sinister, if you want to see that movie. And you may be interested to know, I've got tickets in the fourth row to see a little band called No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater. Don't have time for it here, but I just want to give you a heads up. If you're interested in either of those things, keep listening to the Showbiz Beat. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Al Gore, he's got another show for us.
He's still alive?
He's still alive, and he is going to host a TV special called The Dirty Weather Report. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I don't think we're going to get that from Al Gore.
The Dirty Weather Report.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that's what he's coming with.
Let me see what it says here. Dirty Weather Report will be about the cause of hurricanes, from everything from hurricanes to droughts due to pollution and greenhouse gases. Well, that's not nearly as sexy as I thought it was going to be.
Isn't he just going to come on and go, global warming? Thank you.
Pretty much. He's going to point to a map, show you where all the natural disasters are, and say, global warming. Good night, everyone.
Stop it.
So it's today, I'm so excited.
It's not going to be a long TV special, but it's going to be a TV special nonetheless. Chuck Norris is in the news. Not because he and his crazy wife are telling us there's 1,000 years of darkness coming around, but he was honored this week in Slovakia, of all places.
A local town has been having a two-month-long contest to name a new pedestrian and cycling bridge.
Okay.
For their town.
2 months.
2 months. It's a very important bridge. It's an honor, they said, to have the bridge named, because this is the bridge that a lot of people died trying to cross the border into Austria during the fall of the communist regime there in 1989. So this bridge has a lot of sentimental meaning for the Slovaks, and they wanted to open up the contest to all of their citizens and ask you, what would you like to name this bridge? 457 votes were broken up amongst several other names. 12,000 votes went to the Chuck Norris Bridge.
You don't open something like that up to the people, because it's always going to be a joke.
These are Kevin's people. 457 people took it seriously and tried to come up with an honorable, classy name for this sentimental bridge for them, and 12,000 people voted for the Chuck Norris Bridge.
Love it.
So this was open on the internet for voting, like the Taylor Swift has to play the Deaf College, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Officials have announced they're not having any of it. They are going to name it the Freedom Cycling Bridge.
Boo.
Rather
That's
than
a terrible
the
name.
Chuck Norris Bridge.
Boo.
Because they feel it doesn't really relate to the sentiment behind their beloved bridge.
Can't you just hear somebody summarizing us and all of our friends by saying in that meeting, what's wrong with people?
Really, this people died on this bridge trying to get to freedom, and they want to call it the Chuck Norris Bridge?
Why would they do that?
Why are people bad? They would say in Slovakian.
Because it's funny.
And lastly, Tadeusz Switler is in the news while we're talking about communism and evil and all things bad.
Can I give you my Tadeusz Switler music since I have it?
Go ahead.
Do we have to?
Oh, there we go.
All right.
That's better. Der Fuhrer is going to be in a new movie.
Great. About relationships?
Great. Now she's acting as well.
Yeah.
It's called Girls Like Us, and it's based on a book about the young lives of female singer-songwriters Carly Simon, Carol King, and Joni Mitchell.
Hmm.
Well, this is good news, because there's no way I will even accidentally ever see this film, so there's no way I will have to watch Tadeusz Switler in it. She apparently will play Joni Mitchell in the movie.
That's good casting.
Allison Pill is in talks, apparently, to play Carol King.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
And it's either Girls star Allison Williams, daughter
nice.
Of Brian Williams, the newscaster, or Jessica Pare of Mad Men to play Carly Simon. They
both
need a girl. They need a girl with a big mouth, big lips, and big mouth for Carly
and
Simon.
Both of them have musical ability. Both of them sing too.
Yeah. Which do I push for now?
I believe it's I think three. Now, I think
I like all of the casting that you've described there, Ralph. It sounds like good choices for that movie,
except for the Tadeusz Switler part.
Even Tadeusz, yeah. She was in that Valentine's Day movie. Apparently, acquitted herself well.
Stop talking.
Oh, well is pushing it. She was barely okay.
Let's talk to the person who actually saw that movie, Lisa May. Lisa?
She was barely okay.
Yeah. And Lisa's the nicest person right. in the world, so barely okay means horrible.
Lisa doesn't even hate Taylor Swift the way I do.
I don't.
She's just, and that's the kindest thing she can come up with.
Barely okay.
Well, I defer to Lisa then, because I did not see it. I heard she was fine in it.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you did. Did you hear
boards.
That on the Taylor Swift message board? T-swizzle.com, is that where you found that information
you
from?
You and all the 9-year-old girls? We were at one of our weekly meetings,
yeah.
And the other girl seemed to have enjoyed it.
Being at his hair in curlers with a big bowl of popcorn in front of him with his flannel PJs, talking to the other girls in the conversation circle before he got into his Hello Kitty sleeping bag.
With a pillow with a swastika on it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Too many to give you actual ages. I'm just going to run through all the celebrities celebrating a birthday today. Donald Glover, T.I., Rashad Evans of the MMA, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Will Smith, Tate Donovan, Heather Locklear, Michael Madsen, Michael Douglas, Barbara Walters, and Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is a great time of year if you love the K-Rock music. As we mentioned earlier today, the new Green Day album Uno comes out today. No Doubt's Push and Shove comes out today. And here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving away tickets to go see No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater in row number 4. We'll have those for you in a few minutes. And we're also continuing to hook you up to join us next Friday, a week from Friday, at the Red Bull Soundspace at K-Rock to see Black Keys. They are going to be here performing live. They're in town for a couple of shows, and they're stopping by to play with us. And you get to help us interview the band, too. And I think you know, based on the last time we interviewed the Black Keys, we need the help. So we're very That's much correct. Excited about you joining us.
By the way, show up with some questions, people.
Yes.
Don't just think, hey, I get to show up. Show up with some questions. You're supposed to help us. That's the idea behind it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Kanye West for a second. TMZ has reported Kanye West has a sex tape. Oop, not one, but two. Two sex tapes. Apparently, right. they are being shopped to the highest bidder. The reports are true. Kanye has said, yes, I do have two tapes. Both are pretty long. One's 20 minutes. One's 40 minutes. Show off.
Does he strike you as the kind of guy that lets things out of his possession?
No.
That he's sloppy about stuff like that?
Meaning
he doesn't
you think
strike
he
me.
Released it?
Now he gets to tell us he's got a 40-minute video.
Well,
tape.
That's a good point.
But he doesn't, as we found out when we talked to Dax Holt yesterday from TMZ, he doesn't get any money off of this unless he agrees to let it be released.
My friend.
Look, Kanye West doesn't need bragging rights.
He
he's
doesn't
one of the...
need money either.
Well, that's true,
no, but
I guess.
Here's the thing. Is he says they were stolen from his computer is mm-hmm. the answer to how people got it. But if he comes out and says it's a 40-minute tape and then doesn't let it get put out, he does get the
right?
benefit of having a 40-minute tape.
Win-win.
Right.
That's what I say.
And then nobody has to see it.
By the way, my 40-minute sex tapes involved me paying her, driving her home, going to 7-Eleven on the way back to my house. Not 40 minutes of what people come to see.
Making sure her mom's home so she can get in the house.
You bring up a good point, though, Lisa, which is how do all of these tapes get out? Doesn't it seem like there have been 10 celebrity sex tapes in the last 3 years? I mean, it just seems like they can't all – not everybody in the world is getting hacked all the time always, right?
Oh,
right.
I think you're wrong. I think everybody in the world is getting hacked all the time always. I do
really?
Think that – yes. Don't you think that's a huge problem, I would imagine?
It is, mm-hmm. but I mean, do 100% of the people getting hacked have a sex tape? It sure
well,
seems like they're a lot – like,
I
how are
know.
They all getting out? You would think that a sex – if I had a sex tape and think – Jesus, I don't.
We well, all
I,
do.
If I did, though, that ish would be locked down. Like, that would not be in a place where people could get it.
Yeah, I totally
I would
agree.
Break
it's
into
crazy.
The house and make sure it got out.
I mean, I would think that you would take more care with hiding a sex tape than you would your ATM pin or your tax returns
of course,
or your social security. I mean, yeah, exactly. And that's why we want to do this topic on the program today. And I don't know that we've ever done this before. We've done, you know, you accidentally tweeted a booby picture to your father-in-law. We've done topics like that before. But I want to talk to people who had a sex tape that was discovered by somebody in your life. Maybe it was your current boyfriend or girlfriend and it was an older sex tape. Maybe it was coworkers. You had it on your office at work and IT had to do some, you know, some going through the computer system and they found it. Maybe you brought, you know, took your laptop into to the Geek Squad at Best Buy and
oh.
your sex tape got out that way. Your parents were snooping through your stuff. Maybe they
oh,
found your
parents.
Sex tape.
Yeah,
that would be
parents.
About as bad as it gets, right?
Oh, parents.
I don't know. I don't know if we have those people, but I suspect
we
that
have our, those people.
Our crowd probably is making sex tapes,
correct?
And they're probably not 100% keeping them safe and secure. So we want to hear from you if you have ever had an experience with a sex tape that has gotten loose on you, and we want to find out who the person was that found it. And what the reaction was to your sex tape.
And what they did with it. Some of them.
And what they did with it is a great
point,
too.
Some of them would, you know, distribute. Mm-hmm. Others mm-hmm. would just hold it over your head for the rest of their life. Who knows?
1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number here at K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. I mean, I was thinking, like at K-Rock, for instance, let's just say you were on a computer and you found, you know, Doc or Newsman's sex tape or something like that. You would, and he certainly has them. You would never stop showing that to other people at work, right? I mean, that would be the perfect example of what you do with it. You would bring it up on your computer, and you would invite every single person in the building to come in and watch it, right?
Absolutely, for the rest of life.
So that would be a perfect, that'd be the great kind of story that we want to hear. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one before the break just real quick. Let's get Mark on the air, and then we'll come back and take everybody else. Mark is first victim up. Mark, what happened, dude?
Well, I had a sex tape on my computer laptop, which I keep with me.
Yep.
And my boss was updating it for me, the software.
Yep.
And he had mentioned that he did see something on there that shouldn't have been on there. Which was my personal sex tape.
He mentioned
and this was a work computer, and that's why he was saying that?
Yes.
Why was it on your work computer?
Oh, because I don't have a laptop. I just have my work computer. That's it.
Ah. Did he, I mean, was there any kind of repercussions other than that? Were you
no,
warned?
Just,
or?
just him making a joke about it.
Oh, that's the best. He called you into his office one-on-one?
Exactly.
And then he said, listen, Mark.
Wow, was that necessary?
I'm asking.
All right, here's the question I have for you, Mark, and we do thank you for calling and being our first up on this topic. Was the chick in the sex tape hot?
Yes, she was my wife.
Oh, then you're feeling pretty good about this news getting out then, right? You're all right with that.
But the funny thing is my wife works with me also.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, now everyone in the office knows you guys have a sex tape. Well done.
Thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Somebody found a video of you having sex, and it wasn't necessarily who you intended. We'll take your call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Brandon and Ronnie from The Killers join us in the 9 o'clock hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Our friend Adam Carolla in minutes. Right now, though, we're talking about your sex tape got out. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, Kanye West is going through this right now with his sex tapes. Who knows who the hell has them? Listen to this before we go back to the calls. This is from Kenneth. Hey, Kevin and Bean, for Christmas, my wife and I decided to take a bunch of old family VHS tapes and have them put on DVD and make a bunch of copies to give to everyone on our Christmas list.
Without even looking at them?
Well, you can guess, we left one of our special VHS tapes in the box that we gave to the company. Well, we did not watch it before giving a copy to nearly every one of our family and extended family. Right there on the DVD menu was Xmas 88, Summer 93, Sex Scene, Xmas 95. Damn, says
Kenneth. I'd love to get a copy of that.
That's bad surprise right there. All right, let's go to Allison now, line 8, to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Allison, you little minx.
Hi. Okay, my fiance, my ex-fiance was really freaky, and we had sex on webcam. Well, a third party recorded it and put it on an amateur porn site, and at like 3 o'clock in the morning, a couple months later, someone from my high school called me and was like, hey, you have a sex tape, and they sent me the link, and from then, it spread like wildfire. Everybody I went to high school with saw it. It was screened at parties. It was passed on to everyone.
Screened at parties.
It was awful.
So, wait, so you guys thought you were having private sexy time on a webcam. You didn't know that it was being hacked and recorded by somebody else at the same time?
Yeah, it was like a private webcam, like, where people could go in and watch, and people were recording it. It was awful.
But did you look good?
Oh, I looked great.
All right.
It's a funny joke now, but gosh.
Yeah, you weren't pleased at the time, that's for sure.
No.
Thanks for the call, Allison. Appreciate that. Let's go to Gabby. Gabby's on line 7. Hi, Gabby. Thanks for calling Kevin.
To the guy who I was dating, I sent him the video. And then when I came back home, a couple months later, my mom and my little brother came to visit. My little brother asked to borrow my phone.
Wait. How young was little brother?
8 years old.
Eight.
He was 8 and I was 22.
All right.
Well, look, he's got to learn it sometime.
Yeah, and at that point, he was getting into everything. So he went through my phone and more than 6 games and saw the video. Didn't quite understand and showed my sister, who was 23 when I was 22.
Oh.
So she made so much fun of me for a very long time.
Of course. I hope she still is.
That's fantastic.
Man.
Thank you for the call. Isn't it weird that, I mean, he's 8, so the first exposure he ever has to anything like that is his big sister.
Yeah.
He's not scarred for life. Ugh. Let's go to John now. John's on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, love our listeners. Thank you very much for calling and sharing your stories on this. Hi, John.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What happened?
So I was, this happened a number of years ago. I had borrowed my mother's video camera for like a car show event or something like that. And then my girlfriend and I had taken it and made a sex tape with it that night or the next night or something like that. And then I forgot about it and left the tape in the camera.
Wait a minute. You borrowed the camera from your mom, made a sex tape, and forgot that you made a sex tape and gave it back to her?
Oh, I didn't forget. I forgot to take the tape out and keep the tape.
Right. Okay.
So I gave the camera back to my mom and completely didn't even think about it. And then about a month or two later, my brother contacts me. We're actually over at my brother's house, and he tells me that he borrowed my mom's video camera to take a tape of an event. And he told me that there was a sex tape, and I didn't believe him. I'm like, no way, because I completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it. And he started telling me in front of all my friends in graphic detail.
Sweet.
I asked him for the tape back. He's never given it back. And to this day, he holds over my head.
Of course, he's doing
as well. He should.
Absolutely doing the right thing.
You should be sending him a check for $1,000 a year, my friend, just to keep that tape quiet. That's awesome. Thank you. All right, we only have time for one more, Kevin. Which one do you like? You want to go to Harry or Chris? Let's go to Harry then. Harry's on line 5. Nothing better than the whole family seeing your sex tape. Hi, Harry. You get the final word on this one. What happened?
Well, it was here a few years back. Had a tape of my daughter when she was a baby. And so we decided to send a bunch of tapes to my family at the time when I lived in Montana. And so it was my dad, my stepmom, brothers, sisters, the whole family there watching this
wow.
tape of my daughter. And there comes up in the middle of this tape, this sex scene between me and my now ex-wife. And I got a call from my dad, and he goes, "Did you watch the tape?" And I said, "Yeah, I've watched it tons of times." And he goes, "No, the tape."
And I said, "No." Look, just tell him that you thought they might like to see when the baby was conceived, too. That's all. It's just context. It's all part of the bigger picture.
Nice job, dumbass.
Brandon and Ronnie from The Killers join us in about 20 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. That Brandon, I got to ask him where he gets his haircut in Las Vegas, by the way. He looks sharp.
Good. Because you're going to Vegas this weekend?
I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I'm going to say, you know, I don't think I've had a Nevada haircut yet. He looks good. I'm going to go where he goes.
Good conversation.
I wonder how far down the... Yeah, please don't ask him that. Please, I'm begging you not to ask him that, first of all. And second of all, I wonder how far down the list on my list of things to do when I go to Vegas a haircut would be.
I would never get a haircut anywhere where I was traveling.
But Vegas ever. Especially.
Yeah. Excuse me, point. I've got 50 states worth of haircuts to get. Okay, the hair's not going to cut itself. I'm going to be in Nevada. I need a haircut. Boom. Well,
it's a worthy goal.
All right, what's producer Dave telling us? Are we going to have Mr. Carolla here as scheduled or no?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
So nip is the answer.
If you weren't listening earlier today, we were talking about the thing that everybody is talking about today, which is that basically the NFL is dead to me. The NFL is dead to everybody.
Oh, it's not dead to you. You're going to watch next week. You're going to watch a bunch of games.
That was my but. The NFL is dead to me, but doesn't mean I'm giving it up. There's nothing, nothing
well,
that I can
do. It's not dead to you.
It is.
It's still very much alive.
I hate her, but I'm still going to have sex with her. That's basically what's happening with me in the NFL right now because it's still the only thing I got.
Because you're a cheating cheater who cheats?
Look, I'm not a cheating cheater who cheats. Just because I live in Seattle and the Seahawks were involved last night, it wasn't their fault. You understand that they didn't bum rush the refs and force them to make a bad call. The refs made the bad call that everybody on the field, win or lose, has to live with. Here's how the game ended last night at the literally as time expired, 0-0-0 on the clock at Monday Night Football, Packers versus Seahawks.
As Wilson scrambles to keep it alive, the game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown! One guy goes up, touchdown. Because it's a score. Still have an official down there in the pile looking.
It's Russell Wilson.
They're fighting down at the bottom of the pile with Jennings still down there.
By the way, this is like 40 seconds later. There's still a dog pile of
40
guys.
40 seconds after the game ends.
After the game ends, there's still a dog pile of guys that are trying to grab the football from one another. It was pandemonium.
If you didn't see it, it was awesome because there were two refs that were closer than 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
One of them had a touchdown. The other one had an interception, or he was calling something else. So incomplete interception, but not a touchdown. They were right next to each other making opposite calls.
And one of the strangest things that happened, by the way, that we haven't even had a chance to talk about here today is, and I guess this is the rules, and I don't know why the refs all of a sudden care about the rules in the National Football League, because they apparently didn't when they made that call. But apparently, if there is a touchdown, even if there is no time left on the clock, you have to give the offense the opportunity to kick an extra point. Now, the Packers, they left the field. Understandably, the game is over. They were robbed. They left the field. They're ticked off. They have to go in and bring players back out onto the field so that the Seahawks can kick a meaningless extra point.
Wait, why?
Like, add insult to injury. How humiliating is that? Look, we just jobbed you. Now get back out here and be a good sport. I don't know why that's a rule.
I wonder why they couldn't just go kick it without us. We're just not going to put a defense out. I mean,
no
you,
idea.
You can't block it and advance it.
Right, exactly.
And you've already lost.
There's no time on the clock. You've already lost the game. It's absolutely 100% pointless to force. I mean, it's really just rubbing their noses. Right,
who wants to go out? No one raises their hand. Jim, listen, you got to go out.
It's
one
so
guy.
Sad.
Now, real quick, because we haven't had a chance to play this either, I got two little pieces of tape that I'm dying to play for you, because imagine what it's like. You're the Green Bay Packers, okay? Look. Every game counts in the NFL. You can't – no team can afford to have a game robbed out from under
them,
right?
Yeah, there's only 16 games, so
– there's only 16. Yeah. They all matter, right? So imagine what it's like to be one of these contractually obligated players that now has to go in front of the media and, A, answer questions when you're as pissed off as you've ever been before, and, B, know that if you say the wrong thing, if you criticize the refs, you're going to get fined.
I don't know if a lot of people know that, but they do
– I didn't.
They do have to go do interviews.
Yes.
They're forced to.
And they're not allowed to criticize the referees.
Correct. That's right.
Correct. They're not allowed.
They will be fined for criticizing the refs, right? Which, imagine how frustrating that is these days when everybody's criticizing the
refs. But these guys aren't really refs, so it should be okay.
Good point.
Mike McCarthy, who is the coach for the Green Bay Packers, was first up in the locker room.
Mike, I know there's a fine line you have to walk, but
I'm not walking it. Don't ask me a question about the officials, all right? So we'll just cut to the chase right there. You want to talk about the game? I thought the offense.
So he goes on, basically, he just breaks down the rest of the game and stuff. He basically is saying, look, if you ask me any questions about that final call, about the officiating, there's nothing that I can say that's not going to get me in trouble, all right?
They shouldn't ask him about the
What?
About the refs. They just should have said, did you cheat? Did you win this game fairly?
So here's the follow-up question.
I didn't see it. You know, it was in the far corner. Just, you know, saw the reaction like most people. But, you know, obviously the communication from our players was they had the ball. So, and I still haven't seen the replay of the play.
All right, one more from the coach.
Who had the ball, Mike? Your players have...
I was told MD Jennings intercepted the ball.
Yeah, that's because he did. All right, so now Aaron Rodgers gets up.
He's
now
not sticking very much to his original promise, is he? They started asking him questions, and he was fine to answer it.
Well, but he wasn't criticizing the refs. He's just saying what he I was told that my guy caught the ball. You know, he's not saying they got the call wrong. He's just saying, I'm telling you what I was told. All right, so now Aaron Rodgers gets up, who already, by the way, did not have the greatest game he ever had. I mean, he played well enough to win, obviously, but he was sacked 8 times in the first half. So he had a long night in Seattle last night.
Yeah.
The last thing he wants to do is stand there and answer questions. Man, have I never heard a guy more ticked at a press conference than the QB for Green Bay.
Questions for Eric, please. What do you think of the replay of the classic
play? It was awful.
He's got nothing else to say.
Just look at the replay. And then the fact that it was reviewed.
.. is basically what's happening there.
It's awful. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Looks like MG Jennings had the ball on his own.
Yep.
Yep. Looks like he had the ball. Yep. Not good times for the NFL, by the way. Please tell me they're meeting today. Please tell me. And I know what
I'm with money.
Money told us earlier today that the NFL should not cave, but it can't go on like this, right?
With money. It adds an element of surprise to the NFL. You can win and have it taken away from you by the refs. If it's not your team, it's awesome. If it's your team, it blows.
Yeah. Football is so exciting when there's no rules anymore. So maybe you're on to something. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. If it's okay with Beer Mug, here's Ralph Garman with his 90 seconds.
Halloween!
Nope.
Halloween!
Yeah! What's going on with Halloween spooks?
Scary movies are gonna happen.
Oh, I do love the scary movies.
Sinister.
Okay.
It's a scary movie.
Regular voice
Sinister
time now.
Sinister.
Got it.
It's coming out.
Okay,
soon.
That's fine.
You can see it for anybody else. It's in theaters October 12th, but you can see it Monday, October 1st.
Stop it.
Sinister. The just looks just horrifying, just terrifying.
This looks better than most of this type.
Ethan Hawke plays a true crime novelist who moves his family into a home where a family was murdered. And we talked about this before. It's a bad idea.
Don't do it.
Don't buy the murder houses. He goes in and he finds, some innocuous footage, some film footage and a projector. Who can that hurt? Oh, well, if an evil spirit is inside those films, I would say it hurts everyone, Ethan Hawke.
How does he know when you look at the picture you get possessed?
Oh,
how does he know that until he discovers it?
Terrifying, terrifying. You can go to haveyouseenhim.com. Even the name of the website is terrifying. Have you seen him? They're talking about the evil entity that lives inside the images.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you'd like to see this before everyone else, as I mentioned, it's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 12th. You'll get to see it Monday the 1st at the red carpet premiere.
Nice.
Is that guy going to be there, though? Because
yes. If you see him, run. Sinister, red carpet premiere, Monday, October the 1st. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers, boom, get a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere. That's how I roll. Boom. Next hour in the Showbiz Beat, I will be giving away, oh, let me see, got anything else for you? Oh, how about fourth row tickets to No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater?
All right.
Fourth row.
It works.
You'll be able to see the sweat glistening off of Gwen's snare drum tight abs. That's where you'll be in the fourth row. What's that with her body? How does that happen?
I don't know.
Kids later. What sort of witchcraft is this?
It's voodoo magic.
She's insane. She hasn't aged a day.
Yeah.
She looks like it's Magic Kingdom all over again with her. Damn. Next hour I'll be giving away those. Speaking of ND, as we call them here around the station.
Who?
No Doubt.
Oh.
They've got their new CD released today. Today's New Music Day. It's Tuesday. New CDs by No Doubt, as I mentioned, Push and Shove, finally on store shelves. Uno by Green Day. Babel by Mumford & Sons.
Wow.
And album title goes here by Deadmau5, as they say in some corners. Let's take a listen to some new music, shall we? How about No Doubt's Push and Shove? Here's a couple tracks.
Romney says no.
Come on, a little sample, a little something. Whet your appetite for next hour when I give away those tickets. Here's a track off the brand new No Doubt CD. It's called Looking Hot. Do you think I'm looking hot? Do you think this is a spot? Now this is looking at me. Boop, boop. I just want to shake my groove thang when I hear that track. The title track, Push and Shove. You look it hot.
Right?
One of the best female voices in music.
I agree.
She's outstanding. How about another track off of No Doubt's new CD, Push and Shove, called Sparkle? I know it's never gonna be the way it was. How can it? Feelings change and people can get lost. All right. Good stuff. That's out today. Green Day music. We don't have time for it here. I'll play some tracks from Green Day's new album in the next hour. How about that?
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Barbara Walters is 83 years old today. Not bad for 83. Look, I know she's no stunner, but come on.
83?
She doesn't
she's
look
amazing.
83 years old.
But no. She's never looked good.
But she, for 83, she wins.
Yeah. She looks good.
She doesn't look old. She doesn't look 83 old. Oh, Kevin, I'm going to stop asking you these questions because you're just so hate-filled for the elderly.
Kevin does not have a category that allows you to appreciate anyone who's more than 6 months older than he is, Ralph, whatever that age is.
Michael Douglas is 68. Again, doesn't look 68.
Especially for a guy who's fought cancer.
Mark Hamill. He
looks
course,
terrible. Luke's he does look terrible for his age, right? He's a bad-looking 61.
The voice of the Joker in many Batman cartoons as well.
But that was mostly the car accident that honked up his face, right?
And he got hit by a wampum, or a wampa,
look,
or a
wampa, never forget that.
Womp rat, or something. Yeah, some Star Wars creature. It slashed him across the face in the beginning of the Hoth planet. That's planet Hoth, real. The ice planet.
Not real.
Michael Madsen, 54 years old. Heather Locklear is 51. How about a little love for Heather Locklear at 51? Anything?
Yeah, definitely.
Damn you.
I said yes!
Talented actor Tate Donovan is 40. You're still exasperating, even when you agree with me. Tate Donovan is 49 years old today. Will Smith turns 44. Catherine Zeta-Jones, 43 years old today. Rashad Evans of the MMA celebrates his 33rd birthday. T.I., actor and rapper, also known as Clifford Harris. No wonder he changed his name to T.I. He's Clifford Harris. The captain of the chess club. That's not a rapper.
And a regular on the series Boss.
That's right. Yeah,
good on that.
He's 32. And Donald Glover from Community celebrates his 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
So what about The Killers? Back with a new record called Battle Born, available now. The band has sold over 16 million records, Kevin. Did you realize that?
No, that's awesome.
It is awesome. And they're selling a few more these days with the new record out. Of course, we'll be playing the new song called Runaways here in a minute. Let's welcome Brandon and Ronnie from the band. Hi, boys. How are you?
Good morning, sirs.
Great to see you guys again. Oh, do we have Ronnie's mic on there, too?
Yeah. Okay. Hello. Good morning.
There we go. Ronnie, I'm before I forget, I loved your Big Talk album. I loved your little side project record that you put out.
Thanks, man.
Thought it was tremendous. But man, what a talented group of guys
you
have.
Brandon?
I got it.
I just hit him in the nose with my microphone.
Sorry.
I'm here. Sorry. Who is this guy in Seattle?
that's Bean.
Yeah, this is the Bean of the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi.
It's disconcerting, I know. It's disconcerting because you hear a voice and you don't see anyone.
Come on, we're all professionals. Let's get this done.
Let's start again. Ladies and gentlemen, the Killers.
Yes.
The Killers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Brandon and Roddy are here. Talking about Battleborn, by the way, sold out tomorrow night at the Henry Fonda Theater. So suck it, people who want to see the Killers in the
suck it.
All right. We got a lot of ground to cover. I know you guys have been doing some press, so I think I know some of the things that people have been asking you. But I think our listeners would be interested. Don't call it a comeback. Let's start with that. Just because a band takes a couple of months off doesn't mean they're breaking up, doesn't mean we're never going to hear from them again. What's been the misconception been because it's been a little bit longer between the last record and this one than usual?
Just that, I guess, is that there's some kind of dark cloud on the horizon. But there really wasn't. We always knew that there was, you know, a time, a month even, that we were going to get back together and when it was all happening.
It's hard to know, though, with your favorite bands. A lot of times you find out they don't get along, and then you realize they're breaking up. Like Rage Against the Machine, for example, is a great band where you never know what's going on, and they always have strife. Do you guys not have that level of... We might break up because we don't like each other?
No. So far, it's been pretty good. We're lucky, you know?
It just seems like it would be natural to have more arguments, but that's good to hear.
It's like family tension. It's good to hear, yeah.
Kevin, you're thinking of this show. That's why. You're colored by that.
We don't like each other.
But I think... I also think that creatively, I mean, you guys, I mean, if this is your fourth album, that means, you know, you're talking about 50 songs or more. At some point, you do need to slow down, live a little bit so that you have other things to write about. You can't just do an album, do a tour, then go right back into working, right? You got to enjoy yourself a little bit.
That was part of it. You know, we're going for about 7 years straight, and it was just, you know, a couple of the guys just really needed to, you know, put their feet up, you know,
sure.
Raise kids and just do normal things.
Hey, you earned it.
Is that difficult to come off of 7 years of nonstop activity and then does the time off like 3 days in? Do you start going, I need to do something?
You get itchy.
Yeah. I think it was difficult for Brandon and I. I think, you know.
Well, Brandon did a solo thing, right?
Yeah.
So I remember asking Brandon. He said the guys needed a break. And I was like, well, then when they want to get back together, aren't you going to need a break?
It's all working out.
It is?
Yeah.
When you guys got together again, you said, all right, now we're all ready. We're all recharged and ready to work. was there any talk about what you wanted to do with this new record? Or was it just, hey, let's go, let's write some songs, go in the studio and just work it out as we go? Did you have a grand plan going in?
The initial idea always for us is just to write the best songs that we can. And, you know, we've developed this kind of communication with our fans over this time. And so we want to keep that going and keep that line open. And, you know, we know what's expected of us. So we have that kind of hanging over our heads and we just go in and do the best that we can.
How many, are you one of the bands that writes, 50 songs and pick 10, or do you write 12 and pick 11?
I think it's I think it's suspect when I hear a band writes 50 songs. It's difficult to write 50 songs and finish the lyrics. I think it's, maybe they had 50 ideas.
Oh, I see.
And they just tell you 50 songs. No way.
It's much harder to finish that many songs.
Yeah.
Brandon, I've seen you say in a couple of interviews recently that you are not, overwhelmed by the amount of great rock music that's being made these days, that it seems like we're living in a world, and we sure feel this at K-Rock here, we're living in a world where everything is hip-hop and R&B and electronic dance music. Expand on that a little bit. What did you mean by that when you were talking about the kind of the state of where music is right now?
Well, I mean, it's no surprise that that's what's happening right now. That's what's big is the DJs and the dance music. And we have a foot in that world too. You know, we come from listening to bands like New Order and Depeche Mode growing up. But there is definitely a lack of, I think it's, I don't necessarily think there's a lack of rock bands. I think that we're not writing good enough songs.
Oh, really?
I don't think that it's competing with that stuff, I guess.
Well, that's interesting.
But when a rock song is great, no DJ can can capture that feeling. That's what, you know, I guess that's my point.
So well-written rock songs always win. There just aren't enough of them.
That's true. Yeah. I believe that.
Do you think that it makes it harder for your band to get played, for instance, now? Because it seems like there are fewer and fewer outlets, fewer and fewer people who are even dealing in rock music anymore.
Well, as long as you get up early enough and do these, you know, morning shows.
So you're doing your part.
Guaranteed.
I feel more sorry for a young band. We got our foot in the door. We're lucky. We have a fan base, and we have this
career.
Right. And if you're a young band coming right now and you have a, and you were raised on, you know, on the Rolling Stones or even, you know, with Nirvana or whatever it is, I don't know if there's not a home for you right now. It seems like it's difficult to get in.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right about that. Brandon and Ronnie are here from the band called The Killers. The new record is called Battle Born. We're going to be playing Runaways when we come back. And again, the Henry Fonda Theater is sold out tomorrow night. But I assume at some point you'll be coming back and playing bigger places where people can actually get in, right?
Well, if everything goes right.
We do have a pair of tickets. Let's take questions and we'll give a pair of tickets to the best question.
Okay.
How about that? 1-800-520-1067. We will return in a minute with The Killers.
New music from The Killers. Their album is called Battle Born. That is Runaways. We have Ronnie and Brandon from the band here with us on the Kevin and Bean on K-Rock right now. We're going to go to your calls in just a moment. Kevin told me I couldn't ask this question, but I'm going to anyway, Brandon. I'm going to Las Vegas this weekend, and I want to get a haircut. And your hair looks fantastic. You get great haircuts. Where do you go?
I go in the Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
Do you really?
Now
you're lying.
I swear
haircuts.
There's a Paul Mitchell. There's a Paul Mitchell salon in the Mandalay Bay. And I go there.
Done.
So I get my haircut.
What's it going to run me? What should I expect to pay out for that?
I think it's $68.
$68 is more than that's more than you spent your entire life on haircuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I got about a $20 top price here. I don't know.
You asked the question on the air. Now you have to do
it. A $68 haircut on Bean is wasted.
Mandalay
Bay. You have something to work with.
That's true, yeah. All right, well, that's good advice. Thank you for that. I will take you up on that. All right, we're going to give away some tickets now to see this band performing at the Henry Fonda Theater tomorrow night at 7:30. It is sold out. Now, what did we promise, Kevin, or what's the plan
one
here?
One pair of tickets.
Best question, though? Or so you just hold? You ask your question, then hold on, and then we decide at the end or something?
We should have talked about it during the song, but sure. That's fine.
All right, why don't we go with, let's go with Angelina to get us going. Some of these questions are terrible. I'm telling you right now, we're not going to go to them on the air, but we'll get at least a couple here. Angelina, you're on with the guys from The Killers. What is your question, please?
Good morning, guys. My question is, what is the most difficult song you had to write, or what the most difficult song you did write, and what did it mean to you?
Is there one that really was trouble?
Like took 5 years to finally get to a point where you were ready?
Emotionally?
That's not complicated, Lisa. For God's sakes, it's already complex.
Because some songs come fast, I imagine. Some are a lot of work. I think that's what Angelina's getting at.
Yeah, there are some songs go through a lot of different incarnations. Some are just, you know, quick. I remember a song like Smile Like You Mean It from our first record was just dropped on us. You know, maybe
really?
It was done so fast. And then a song, I don't know, what's the one that was a beast? We have
on
a
this record.
Yeah.
I think on this record the beast was A Matter of Time.
Yeah.
That was just a son of a gun.
All right, thank you for the question. Hold on.
Although he's not going to win.
Let's try, let's go back a ways. Let's get Mike on. He's on line three. He's got a question about the early Killers. Hi, Mike, you're on. Go ahead.
Good. First big performance where you guys didn't get paid and where?
It's probably a K-Rock show.
Are you still bitter about
no,
that?
No.
Do we owe you money?
So we shouldn't count on seeing you at Acoustic Christmas ever again. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. You know, you got to get in touch with Santa.
That's a fantastic answer, though. Thank you very much for the question, Mike. Let's go to Matt. He's on line 7. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to talk to Ronnie and Brandon from The Flowers. Hi, Matt.
Flowers?
Brandon.
They have
sorry,
not
Killers.
Changed their name
sorry.
To The Flowers.
Sorry.
You want to change your name to The Flowers now? Good with Killers.
Brandon's like, yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Rightly. Hey, big fan. I was wondering, what country that you guys went to has, like, the biggest fan base that you guys were surprised about?
Yeah, you showed up and they just went crazy, and you're like, whoa, what's happening here?
Peru for me.
That was crazy,
it was shocking.
Peru, they make you feel like the Beatles. Like people running after your car and stuff.
Really? Isn't that interesting? Now, do they listen to a ton of American rock music down there, or is it just something about your band that, for whatever reason?
We like to think it's just us.
That's a good answer. Always answer it that way.
Hey, I have a question for you, Brandon.
You can't win the tickets. I'm just want to make that clear.
Speaking of countries, I know you did that interview in Sweden the other day that was controversial for reasons I won't go into, but I was intrigued by that television performance because one of the guys from ABBA was on the panel with you.
Yeah.
Björn Ulvaeus was on the panel. What was that like, talking to the dude from ABBA? Did you get a chance to meet him at all?
Yeah, it was cool. It was strange because we were there and we ended up just talking about religion, and then but we would go to commercial and he would be like, I love human. I just want you to know I love human. and then we cut back on and it's all serious again. And so, but I took that as a great compliment. He's one of the great pop writers of all time.
He absolutely is, and I was so fascinated to see that because they very rarely, I think, do interviews anymore. They certainly don't need to. I mean, they're a band that has $1 billion on the table for them to reunite for a brief tour, and they won't even entertain the idea. I'm just fascinated with those guys.
Yeah, it was a big deal, I guess, for him to be doing that interview.
Yeah, very cool. You do get, and by the way, you
that's
also
funny,
said, and I think maybe that same night you said you were talking about some of the people you've met. You've met Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama. You've met them both, right?
Yeah.
That's like that doesn't happen to regular people. You know that, right?
Wait, no comment after yeah.
That's cool.
We were lucky enough to play the White House on the 4th of July for the troops.
That's just weird.
Yeah, that was a real highlight for us. We're playing on the South Lawn and Obama comes out and gives a speech from the balcony, and it was so surreal.
Even for you guys,
yeah, it was so
a lot
surreal.
Of crazy stuff. Yeah. It's got to seem strange.
It was great,
but you know there was a sniper on the roof of the White House trained on you guys. You know that, right?
Keeping an eye
just
on
the heat. Yeah.
How does an invitation like that even happen? Is somebody who works in the White House Entertainment Committee a fan of yours or something, and just puts out the request?
Oh well, me and Michelle, we used to date.
Yeah,
that's a good answer.
And she found me on Facebook.
Yeah, and she won't leave you alone.
Any chance to barbecue with me? You know what I mean?
Because I don't peg that as being like I don't see President Obama's pretty white. I don't think he's so white he's got the Killers on his iPod though. Do you?
Oh, I think he's that white. Sure.
Really? Is he that white?
Oh yeah.
That's very cool though.
I think the Killers are that black.
Are we that white?
We're for everybody.
Right. You choose who you want to win the tickets to come to the Fonda. We had Mike who was asking about the biggest performance without getting paid. We had Angelina who's asking for the most difficult song to write, and we had Matt who was asking about the countries with the fan bases that surprised you. Who would you like to see win those tickets?
Out of those three people, can we keep going with these?
Did you hate them all?
So you have more choices?
I think probably was the best question is what was the most difficult song to write, and we didn't give the greatest answer.
Yeah. All right. What's her name?
Her name is Angelina.
Angelina.
Then
congratulations, Angelina.
Thank you so much.
They were happy with your question and unhappy with their own answer.
Yeah. My daughters love your album. So.
Thank you so much.
Is that a compliment?
I hope you come around one day.
Yeah.
The album is called Battleborn. I guess it's only been out for, a week or something like that now. But it is terrific. If you're a Killers fan, you got to pick it up. And I love what you guys have been saying, how you're playing these songs live now, and they're still kind of not done with what they're going to eventually be in concert, right? They're still kind of building.
That's true. I shouldn't be reading my reviews, but we just played a fantastic gig in Toronto the other night. I mean, elation. I mean, there was so much fun. Anyway, I saw a review and it talked about how it was. They called it a nostalgic gig because of how well our old songs went. You know how much they were.
Your old songs aren't that old.
Well, yeah, but so they were trying to say we were becoming a nostalgic act, and that the new songs were only were received. You know, kind of lukewarm.
Yeah, did not read that.
Well, yeah, but I just thought the album came out 2 days before this gig.
Right.
When we first played Mr. Brightside to people or whatever it was, when you were young, I mean, we got, you know, it was crickets.
Right.
And so it's just so silly. So anyway, yeah, we're still working the new songs out.
It takes years for them to sort of, you know,
is it
they're
for
old
the crap,
to us.
Is it for the people to get used to the song, or do you guys actually change? And
yeah, it evolved. The songs evolve. The performance will evolve, and we'll figure little things out along the way.
Well, you're one of our favorites. We're always excited when you're in town. You have the opportunity to stop by and see us. And I'm going to take you up on that haircut idea. So thank you very much for that, Brandon.
And I'll do it for half. I'm good with my hands.
I would like Ronnie to cut your hair.
Great to see you again. Congratulations on the success of Battleborn. And I know we won't see you at Acoustic Christmas, but hopefully we'll see you again sometime soon. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks guys. Good morning.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42. I don't want to say the Killers got off to a bad start. It wasn't them. I didn't have Brandon's mic on, first of all.
Uh-huh.
There was that.
Right.
And Brandon didn't have headphones, so there was that. They weren't even in the studio. We didn't even have enough headphones in the studio.
A little snowball rolls down the side of a hill, and it gathers more momentum and more mass, and then eventually it becomes an avalanche of interesting radio.
I don't think we're good at what we do.
The second break was excellent.
Yeah,
well,
because...
not the... Where do you get your haircut in Las Vegas?
That was part. A legitimate question.
I tried
question.
To ban that not question. Not that part, but the rest of it was very entertaining, and it was an excellent interview with the Killers, and I commend you both on the second break of that.
When I have an awesome haircut next time I see you guys,
you never have an awesome haircut, first of all. And second of all, it was a pretty good answer despite being a horrible question.
Going to Mandalay Bay.
So bad for those guys.
I know.
Just get my hair done. With that.
Get my hair did. All right. Ralph is here, 9:43. Hey, look, Mother Effer, you promised us No Doubt tickets like all day long today. What kind of liar are you?
The kind that catches a ball in the end zone and claims it's a touchdown. Takes that win for the team. Kind of liar from Cheaterville, Washington State. Changing the name from Seattle to Cheaterville.
Talking about last night's Monday Night Football game.
It is Tuesday. That means there's new CDs available for your entertainment dollar, and I wanted to play some new music for you. Album title goes here by Deadmau5. That's available today. Babel, the new Mumford & Sons CD, also drops today. Uno by Green Day and Push and Shove by No Doubt. Let's play a little music from No Doubt and Green Day while we have a couple minutes here, shall we? Push and Shove is the new CD. Long time in the making. I thought it would never come out. I really did. Here's some tracks from that, including the new one that just, new single that just came out a little while ago, and I love it. It's called Looking Hot. Do you think I'm looking hot? That, you're talking about ABBA with the Killers. That sounds like an ABBA song to me. It could absolutely be on the dance floor in 1977 at Studio 54 with just hot babes shaking their cans, their braless cans, doing blow up a Mick Jagger's wang. You know what I'm saying?
You got a lot out of that 5 seconds of No Doubt.
That music fulfills. I get a complete scenario in my head when I hear that music.
I saw Mick Jagger's wang last night.
Really? I bet you did, Sailor. Push and Shove, the title track from the CD. You get I love this band.
Yeah, they're good.
Sparkle, Sparkles, and another new track off the album. I know it's never gonna be the way it was. How can it feel as changing people can get lost? I'm not a ska guy by nature, but when they work their stuff in with that ska beat and everything, I really like
you
that
You strike
sound.
Me as a ska guy.
Do I strike you as a guy who enjoys the ska music?
Absolutely.
I feel like I should be in the band Madness wearing a pork pie hat doing that funny walk. I have tickets for No Doubt. They were given away all week long at 9 a.m., at noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m. The station's giving away No Doubt tickets, but they gave me an extra pair because they know I'm such a huge fan. I'm going to give away some right now. You can score tickets in the fourth row. Tickets go on sale, by the way, Friday at 4 p.m. If you don't win them today, don't despair because you can still buy them. But if you'd like to go and sit in the fourth row, here's a little trivia question for you, a little No Doubt trivia. Fans of the band should have no problem with this. Of the four members, give me the order that they joined the band. First one in to the last one who joined the band. That's the order I want them in. Give me those names in that order. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person to get through with the correct sequence of the band's members will get a pair of fourth row tickets to see No Doubt at Gibson Amphitheater. Green Day also released Uno today, their new album. Here's some samples of some of those tracks. First one from Green Day's Uno is Let Yourself Go. Let yourself go. Can't imagine why they called that Let Yourself Go, that song. let yourself go to rehab, I think is the other lyric.
Are you sure that's Green Day? I didn't hear a single F word in anything that you just played.
How about Kill the DJ?
I like that one.
I like the part where it goes backwards. That's cool. They should do that in all their songs. Oh, Love. Far away, far away. Place away tonight. I'm wearing my heart on a noose. Of course, the most popular single off that so far. Good stuff. Good day to have new music, people. Yep. So get out there and enjoy.
Last week, The Killers. Now we got No Doubt.
Yeah. It's a golden age. Yep. It's a golden age, people. Enjoy it.
It's a golden week.
It's a golden week.
Week and a half.
Amanda Bynes in the news. Surprise, surprise. She missed her court date yesterday. The judge specifically said, I would like Ms. Bynes to please appear in front of the bench so we can have a little conversation about her driving with her suspended license and her speeding ticket less than a week after a DUI arrest and her two hit and runs. I'd like to have a conversation with Amanda. Well, her lawyer showed up yesterday, but Amanda was nowhere to be found. Why? Because she now lives in New York City.
But didn't she know about the court date, and don't they still have airplanes?
Yes and yes to the answers to your questions. But here's the thing. The next hearing is scheduled for Thursday, so I guess we'll have to wait and see if she shows up for that one or not.
She doesn't seem to be a reliable person.
She's in New York starting a fashion line. Hello. She's very busy. Meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan was partying Sunday night when she had to be rushed to the hospital. No, not to have her stomach pumped, a la Rod Stewart. But because she apparently had a hard time breathing. She was
airtight.
Some people said walking pneumonia. That was some stories. It turns out, at least according to sources close to Lindsay, it was, in fact, an asthma attack. She had to head to the hospital for some medication. She was in and out relatively shortly, say witnesses, and then she had to go back to her hotel. She had to catch a set from Mick Jagger's Wang. They were playing there at the hotel. Just want to make sure she didn't miss any of their music.
You don't want to miss them.
If there's no band, it's called Mick Jagger's Wang. By this time tomorrow, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
Airtight.
Greatest name ever. Miley Cyrus is a tiger in the sack. Hannah Montana knows her way around a banana. According to friends of Liam Hemsworth, her fiancé, she is she's crazy, and she's got tons of sexual fantasies that she likes to fulfill with her fiance, according to sources. They had to have fun everywhere, and they are currently in a competition to see who can think up the craziest place to have sex. Ah, the joys of being newly engaged. After a couple years of marriage, the craziest place you'll have sex will be in your bedroom.
Does this explain the crazy haircut that she got? Did she have some sort of fantasy where she's the boy? What happened there?
No, she's just expressing herself, man. Listen to the Haircut 100, by the way.
Kidding. Talk about other people's haircuts.
He's Haircut 50, but still. You guys see the Flava Flav video? It was Dave showed me it yesterday, where he was taking pictures with Miley Cyrus and said hi. Yeah. He said hi for 30, 40 seconds, and then she walked away, and he went, Gwen Stefani! That was so great! It was Gwen Stefani! And
that's
everybody's like, awesome!
It was Miley Cyrus.
That's so funny.
But then he went back over to her and talked about what a big fan of hers he was also.
Of Miley's,
right,
too?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was him trying to save face.
Speaking of Gwen Stefani, do we have a winner answering my trivia question? I believe Stephanie on line 3 may have gotten through with the correct answers. Stephanie?
Hello?
Give me the order of the band members of No Doubt. Out in the order that they joined the band.
That'd be Gwen.
Right.
Tony.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
And Adrian.
Well done, woo! Stephanie.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Good point.
Congratulations. You are going to see No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater. Sadly, though, I hate to report this to you, you'll only be in the fourth row.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. Awesome. So excited.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
Thank you. Garmy, baby.
Garmy strong, baby. Thank you so much.
Easy, Stephanie.
Hey, mind your own business.
I'm just saying easy.
You talk to your people, I'll talk to mine. Well, then, pipe down.
Why? How can you say that? You got tons of people Kevin-ing.
That's true.
You got your own people.
You got the Kevin Patrol, and really you got the Garmy.
Not really a tribute.
Today's celebrity birthday is Barbara Walters is 83 years old today. Actor Michael Douglas is 68. His lovely wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, celebrates her 43rd birthday. Mark Hamill, sci-fi legend. Luke Skywalker.
Best known for Corvette Summer, I would say. Wouldn't you agree, Ralph?
Yeah, I guess. Or the Big Red One.
Yeah, maybe those two.
He is 61 years old today. Michael Madsen from Donnie Brasco and Reservoir Dogs is 54. Heather Locklear turns 51 today. Actor Tate Donovan celebrates his 49th birthday. Will Smith is 44. Rashad Evans of the MMA is 33 years old. Rapper and actor currently can be seen on Boss. T.I. celebrates his 32nd birthday. And Donald Glover from Community is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning and on the show, we have John Cryer on the program.
Emmy Award-winning John Cryer.
Emmy Award-winning John Cryer. He won as Best Supporting, didn't he? Did he win?
No,
or
Best
nominated?
Lead Actor.
Best
Lead
this year, actor. I know, but before he was at least nominated.
I believe he was nominated, yeah. Yes.
We also have Neil Patrick Harris on the program tomorrow.
He was nominated too, wasn't he, for How I Met Your Mother?
I believe he was. Yeah. We should do some research before I try and sell the show. Adam Carolla?
Yeah, I don't call.
But this week in Rage?
I don't answer my phone.
Tomorrow we're promising you that he's going
to
do it.
What's it about phones ringing? You have to answer them. I don't like it.
He was supposed to be on today. And we have tickets for our breakfast with Black Keys. So tune in tomorrow morning. All new Kevin and Beat.